with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute and change past the hour of 6 p.m. here on the East Coast. Welcome to the program for this evening. Welcome to the Horn. Welcome to Conversation Radio. Welcome to America's liberal voice. It's live, it's real, and it's me. I'm Bob. And it's Wednesday. Yes, 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 it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and it's middle of the week. You know, hump day. Downhill, baby, to Friday. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 and off in the fellowship hall, you can smell that. Well, you know, I'm genetically predisposed to it because I'm directly related to a famous Virginia pro-slavery circuit riding minister who was genetically able to smell free chicken frying from at least 50 miles away. Yes, 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 yes. So, yeah, it's more than just any old Wednesday. It's prayer meeting, brethren and sistren. And, Mr. Choirmaster, if you would get us started, please, brother.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy davy, kiddly davy too. Hallelujah. I love you. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren. Come down, come down. Who knows when it will be last time? Who knows who in this group is going to, will not have another opportunity to come down, blood red carpet, lay their hands upon the subwoofer, kneel, kneel, sinner, kneel, and feel the healing rays of common sense are flowing through you. Glory, glory, glory. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Archbishop Bob Kincaid, and we are going to have a prayer meeting tonight that will fill you with the reasonable spirit, brethren and sistren. And we will go straight away to the telephone, where I am informed that Sister Kate is with us from the, maybe not even from the desert.
Oh, no, not even the desert, the frozen north. Well, at least Preacher wasn't so slimy tonight. Thank you.
Well, I decided to go prosperity gospel just for you, Kate.
Thank you very much. I'm on my cell phone, and I don't know how reliable Verizon's going to be, so I just wanted to rant for a minute. I've heard my name taken in vain for about two or three programs.
Well, that's because I don't think it was taken in vain, as a matter of fact. It was taken in distinct admiration. You know, Tom jumping in last night, and you got something started, sister.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but anyway, I can pop into the archives once in a while, and I hear my name, and I think, gee, maybe this is my, maybe I should call in and say, hey. I wanted to say, how much money are we at now?
I am very happy to announce that we've crossed the threshold, Kate.
Well, that's really good to hear. I mean,
we have beaten the wolf back from the door for October the 21st. There will be a fourth birthday of the horn. And now all we got to do is do the month's fundraising.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we'll be pickled. The pink envelope's been taken care of. Big deal. I mean, yeah, it is a big deal, but we just can't sit back on our laurels, whatever the hell that is. And it just occurred to me something today that by us not contributing when we oughta, we know we should, and we can if we just tried a little harder, that we're putting you and Agnes under a tremendous amount of pressure, and that's just not fair. It's just like just hanging on. And you guys don't need all that goddamn drama in your life. And
yeah, comedy would be good once in a while instead of the drama.
Yeah, well,
and it ain't no melodrama neither. It's the real gut wrenching kind.
Hyperdrama.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I don't want to be unkind, but I just feel like there's about, like Malloy says, there's probably about 34 people out there. Well, 30 of us contribute, but about 34 people out there who are buying a latte or in the drive-thru or a cheeseburger. Like Gary said, somebody, come on, you got $5, just do without a cheeseburger. I thought, a $5 cheeseburger? My God, I'm way off of the road. But there's, and I just want to point out how important this is. There's just so few voices out there. And people are mentioning Air America. Well, ooh, ick. That's not, that's gotten to be so commercial that it's not even viable.
Well, and it stopped, for the most part, it stopped being liberal a long time ago.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm in Helena, sitting in a parking lot where I used to get
Helena Bucket or Helena Montana?
Helena, in Montana. Yes, that's so funny. I realized a few minutes ago I'm sitting in a parking lot where I used to have Sunday telephone calls on a 12-minute egg timer, and I would park under beside a blue spruce tree in the shade, and it hasn't gotten above 34 degrees today, and there was an inch of snow on my truck last night, so how the seasons change.
Snowbirds are supposed to go south in the winter. You're going the wrong way.
I know, not me. No, I don't do anything like anybody else does, I guess. Anyway, that I have a bit of time to listen to AM radio, and it is way spookier out here than I thought it was. I was laying in the sunshine, the only sunshine we've had for a while, on my bunk waiting to get the courage to get up the other morning, and my little local AM station 1240 was on, and this guy was talking, and I kind of woke up from my nap in the sun and thought, who the hell is that? Fred Thompson. I mean, come on.
Oh, half dead Fred? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought, this is my hometown. What is going on here? Oh, my God. So, you know, I mean, the airwaves are just awash with garbage and scary stuff, and Montana used to be a nice little state to live in, and it's not so anymore. It's, you know, there's the occasional Obama sticker, but
Are they rather head up out there, Kate? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. I mean, I can't even, I can count on one hand the amount of people that I can have conversations with that aren't even political, but just civil. You know, I mean, it's pretty icky. So, I'm learning to love without opinion, but, it's tough. It's very tough.
Mighty tough.
I'm heading west for Tacoma anytime now, you know, after next week, and, just get out of here for a while. So, anyway, I just wanted to encourage people to reconsider the apathy and the complacency that we're wallowing in, because, they're taken over. They have taken over, and this is the last dying gasp we have between you and Malloy, and even Tom Hartman's gotten commercial. I mean, I don't want to cast aspersions, but we don't have.
Well, and let me add another name to that mix, and that is, of course, my bosom chum and colleague Guy James. And Guy's show, Kate. I don't know. Guy's show is on hiatus right now.
Yeah, I heard that last night or some night, and I thought, oh God, see, they're going down like bowling pins.
So, let me explain what I'm going to do since we took the broomstick and beat the lupine pest back away from the porch for a little bit. If we get sufficient if contributions continue to roll in, which they really must, because again. Not to put too fine a point on it, but what we were talking about was a matter of literally life and death by October 21st. But there's still two grand to be raised. But out of that, what I'm promising out of this is I'm going to do everything financially possible, with what comes in to get Guy back on the air. And I know what the dollar figure associated with that is. And I'm going to do everything I possibly can to solve that problem.
Yeah.
And it won't be me solving the problem. It will be the Horns family solving that problem.
For sure. Our dysfunctional family. So the money that you got over the top now with this last little bit, that only takes care of the current pink envelopes, or does that pay for the gear that you had to buy?
No. That is the critical mass, by October 21st thing. And that's also counting the regular monthly contributions too. So we are at effective zero for October.
Yes, but I remember when you had to buy all that equipment and it was just such a big number.
Yeah.
And okay, so is that stuff paid for now?
Oh heck no.
Or are we still doing that?
We're still doing that.
So the $1,100 was just a drop-dead number, and we ain't nowhere anyhow. So that's the point I'm trying to make. We need to just stop being, you know, at least get Agnes and Bob off of the edge. That can't be healthy. And we just have to keep sending money. And I know, well, I don't have any money. Well, yeah, I think we do. You know, some of us don't. I mean, I happen to have some this month, and that's that. But who knows if the truck's going to break down or something? Then I wouldn't have Jack, you know. So not even to buy day old bread. So speaking of day old bread, I wasn't, but I found this is the food porn section. I found the Zydeco Cafe on Last Chance Gulch in Helena, Montana.
Oh my God!
He's like the real deal. He has a cafe down in Bozeman. In the college town, and there's a New Orleanian up here who's been here like 17, 20 years or something, and he's from New Orleans, and I said to him the other day, oh, baby, every time I hear you talk, I want to suck my bugs, and he said, yeah, baby, I know, and he said, say, go down to Zydeco Cafe. They have beignets every Sunday, Saturday morning.
Oh, that's better than a communion wafer.
He said, honey, they're real beignets. Hey, no, yeah, they're real beignets. He said, I've been supporting the cafe down in Bozeman for a long time, and now he's finally moved up and got a little bitty old, looks like a tool shed. I mean, a little bitty old place sitting on a triangle in the corner there. And I'm going to try to get in and get a warm meal.
You know what I'm on a quest for, Kate, since we're in the food porn portion of the program?
Mm-hmm.
I'm on a quest, and I know, I'm going to get the stuff I get email about, oh, my God, and I'll get email about this. I'm on a quest for decaffeinated coffee with chicory.
Ooh.
Back in my caffeine days, I lived on Louisiane.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or Café Du Monde, or, you know, whatever I could get my hand. I love coffee with chicory. I've never found any decaffeinated.
Well, I'll inquire when I'm in there this week and see if I, you know, I could find a little $5 bag of it and send it to you, or in lieu of a $5 contribution.
Well, a nickel bag of decaf coffee with chicory. Ooh.
Don't say nickel bag on the phone. I don't know who's listening. Well, they're dime bags.
I said of coffee with chicory.
Okay, well, I'm going to move over and let you finish the prayer meeting.
Well, I will, and I'll let you move over as soon as I share something with you real quick. I mentioned something. I don't know if it was in our conversation or not, but I mentioned something about gourmet grits out of South Carolina that you can order online.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I went and founded them.
Uh-huh.
Anson Mills, A-N-S-O-N, Mills, M-I-L-L-S.com, AnsonMills.com, Antebellum Coarse Grits, Carolina Whole Hominy Carolina Quick Grits, and they even sell Henry Moore Yellow Hominy Corn. They got the Stone Brown Cornmeal, they got the Antebellum Coarse Cornmeal, they got Artisanal Polenta, Wheat and Rye Flour. Oh!
What town are they in?
Well, now see, you done went and took me sideways. It's Anson Mills, and
I can look it up.
They're in Columbia, South Carolina, and they are the grit purveyor to the food the culinary gods of the cooking world.
That might be somebody I have to look up.
I mean, one of those chefs who sounds like a really bad sneeze. This is where he gets his grits. Jean-Georges Van Garisten. Gesundheit. Yeah, he gets his grits there.
Oh my God. Well, as soon as I finish my obligations over in Tacoma, I'm going to turn around 180 and head toward the Big River. And I haven't heard yet back from Highlander, but we'll see, and I'm sitting on my hands to keep from going back to the Gulf Coast, but I got plenty of friends encouraging me, don't do it, throw your cell phone in the glove box, sit on your hands, don't go.
Abandon hope, all ye who enter here, yeah.
Yeah, my migratory instincts are all screwed up. I mean, I should have left here 2-3 weeks ago before the snow, heading toward the Gulf Coast, but I'm not doing that this time, so I'm going clear to the left coast to make a 180 and turn around and hit.
Well, I hope it works out at Highlander, because I tell you what, a finer bunch of people you'll never find, and they could use your talents.
Well, I don't
especially
know.
Especially at the rate you're offering them.
Yeah, right. she said, well, no, we don't have any money. And I said, no, you don't. I didn't ask for money. I asked if you needed any help. So I don't know, and if that's she's really busy right now, so I'm not surprised. I've heard back from her once or twice, but I'm just gonna. I mean, I'm a long damn ways from Newmarket, Tennessee, so that's clear over way east of Knoxville, and so I'm long ways from there. So I'm just trying to be patient and do what's right in front of me and do the next thing and get. You know, take care of business. But
well, you know, go ye unto Tacoma, cross ye the Bitterroot, and then come back.
Yeah, right. I had somebody. Where was I going to go with this? I had somebody say to me, "Why are you? I just saw an Arizona truck out there. Is that yours?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "What are you doing up here?" I said, "Well, you know, I just do things this way. You know, do it this way and that way." So, I'm sitting on my hands, and I'm really missing the Gulf Coast, but I think I'm just not going to go back there unless something big happens, and the hurricane season's not over yet, so we'll see.
No, and the one thing I've heard is that the biggest reason the hurricane season's been fairly quiet is this is an El Nino year.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it stays this way, it stays nice and quiet, so I can go do, I know what I was going to say. I said one of the reasons that I can't go back to the Gulf Coast is because I'm so tired of the racism. It burns me out and burns me up. It just uses me up. And the corruption and the fraud and the the greed and the Christians and the, you know, I mean, it's just pretty icky. And so I guess if I, and I feel powerlessness and out of control, and I don't have any authority to do anything that, you know, needs to be done. So the only way I can deal with social injustice is go to Highlander and start at the grassroots and start helping there. So we'll see. But
there is never not a need amongst those grassroots. No doubt.
And there's sure no, there's only about three people to talk to here in Montana. So my saving grace is that I'm able to listen to CBC on the AM radio. And
so. But even, yeah, and I know even the local AM radio has got to be bizarre.
Oh, it is. Oh, well, I listened to the market, the for sale, dial a deal thing this morning like I used to do last year down south. And
oh, the radio swap shop of the air?
That one, yeah. In your old stomping grounds. It's always so sad to hear what people have for sale. Just breaks my heart. So anyway,
we'll sell or swap for a high to bid and $35. Call 140-RING-2 and ask for Bob.
If I'm not there, I'll get right back to you. Okay, we're just playing now. So anyway, I'm going to move over and let somebody else have the air. And just please, folks, get Bob and Agnes off of the edge, and let's get, because we're not even close. Just because he got the 1100 or whatever it is, that ain't no big deal. They're not going to get eat up, and we're going to have a show on the 20 whatever. I forgot, but this is not. This is, we're not done. We're not even close to being done. So forego that six pack or that pack of cigarettes. Or Montana smoke free now.
Yeah. Oh, Wingnut's got to be loving that.
Well, you got to see. It's really strange seeing people hanging around outside the door at casinos. How do you let go of the one arm thing? You know, when you've got a roll going, but you really need smoke. If you got to go outside, and
you know what, getting one of them rolls going will make you need a smoke.
It does. And so people, you know, when they're standing outside, I'm thinking, well, did they just hit a wall? Did they?
Yeah, right. Otherwise, those, you know, they're little old blue haired lady sitting at the computer slot machine, and she's hitting it, and the blood pressure starts to go up, and the adrenaline starts to go up. Little old blue haired lady needs a smoke, or she will spontaneously combust.
Combust, yeah. So I'm kind of, it's kind of an interesting social app here watching this happening. And it went on the last day of September, they went smoke free, and it's pretty interesting. I have a bizarre sense of humor, so anyway, I will talk to y'all later, and please just keep those cards and letters coming in with money in them. Mm-hmm. Yes, the collection plate's coming around, so.
Yeah, don't take me down that road. I'll do that after you hang up.
Fanny up. Later.
Later.
Talk to the redhead.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Stay safe now.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye. I am.
Okay. Later. Formerly from On the Desert, now from the literally the high plains of Montana. That's Kate. And what she says is so true. We are there. Look, the lights will stay on, and they'll stay on because of you. And we will have an October, and we will have a fourth birthday. Now we work on November. Now I don't mean to make it seem like, you know, the endless pitch. But this is our reality. If it's important, it's got to be supported. And so many of you have, and you've done so so kindly and so generously, from $5 all the way up. And it is so very, so very appreciated. And, well, all I can do is thank you. Wayne told me he went to the mailbox and he found $60 cash. Cash money trusted with the United States Postal Service. And, you know, he calls me with that kind of stuff, and he says, how can you not absolutely just be blown away by what folks are willing to do and the respect and the caring that they have for what's going on here and what we're trying to do? It certainly is plenty enough to keep to make us more than willing to do everything within our power to keep the lights on and to keep things going. So here we are. Like I said, I counted in our regular monthly contributions toward that that threshold. So now that we're there, all we've got is, you know, we've just got a nice little, our regular $2,000 monthly hole to fill. So, you know, cross your fingers, I guess. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Well, let's see. It's prayer meeting Wednesday, and, lo and behold. I told you somebody would be out there. And our quick to the button Smarty Pants Award tonight goes to our pal Marty. Decaffeinated coffee, Bob? Isn't that like a margarita without salt? No, it's like water without wet is what it is. But, you know, when you just can't do the caffeine anymore. And lo and behold, David from Maine has already found our my decaffeinated chicory coffee over at, lo and behold, Amazon.com. And, you know, we don't do advertising on this program. And I, by the way, I do have a horror story. Yeah, French Market brand. Well, there you go. French Market brand. I do have a prayer meeting story that needs telling, because it's one that we've been actually been more or less following for a while. And we'll get into that. We will get into that. We'll take a little break, and in honor of Kate out there in the high plains of Montana, but having been from so many other places as well, and with a song with specific reference to something to which she referred, a little tune. It's about 26 minutes past the first hour of the program tonight, and we'll be right back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. And the support you do give, stunning. This is The Horn.
The ice cream man, he's a hillbilly fan. Got 78s by Hank Snow. Walks down the street, shuffling his feet to a rhythm that only he knows. And I've seen him in so many places. I saw him the night I was born in a Bourbon Street bar. I received my first scar from an old man so tattered and torn. And the wide open I know the pain of street singing like a door-to-door salesman. Situation, wild occupation, living my life like a song. Coffee is strong as a cafe tomorrow. Donuts are too hot to touch. Just like a fool when those sweet goodies cool. I eat till I eat way too much. Cause I'm living on things that excite me.
Yeah, the Café du Monde reference therein and the French market and mighty special place. And God love a beignet on it. And, yeah, I'll take a beignet over the communion wafer any day of the week. And I think this being Wednesday that I can feel fairly confident in saying that Jesus would have too. God, they're good. Oh, Lordy, they're good. And while we're doing product price placement, before I do go to the phones, if you're into your grits, I did some research, and one of the things that they make abundantly clear is these ain't no quick grits. These are the ones that got to cook for a long time, low and slow. And you can find them at AnsonMills.com. Anson, A-N-S-O-N, Mills.com. And they're a little pricey, but you can, minimum order is 4 12-ounce bags. You can mix or match, or you can buy one 10-pound box. It's a little pricey, but if you love your grits, these are the grits to be loving. And it comes with complete instructions for those of us who are used to just throwing some quick grits in boiling water and calling them grits. And for as frustrating as it is for both you and all of us at the Horn to know how difficult it is to keep this going, you know, I enjoy recommending a product that I know to be good and that I can recommend with and say, and hey, nobody paid me to say this. It's just worth mentioning if it's something that you want to, you know, obtain. And, you know, this. Listen, everybody is struggling in this regard. Nowhere and nothing is safe. Because, well, I had a, well, first of all, congratulations to our buddy Joe the Foxhole Atheist. You may recall that I brought to your attention an essay that he penned a couple of weeks back, maybe three now, talking about what a real civil war in America would look like. And that went up at the Horn first. Well, yesterday, it went up at opednews.com. Joe went ahead and submitted it over there. It was accepted. And lo and behold, it was the lead story yesterday, and it's gotten a lot of interesting comments. Because it's a very, very interesting and sort of eye-opening and scary kind of an article. Joe did a magnificent job. So when I got an email from Joe telling me about it and thanking the Horn family, you, me, us, all of us, for the inspiration for going forward, I went and naturally had me a look. Joe said, because of the support from you and all the listeners, I decided to submit my article on the Civil War to opednews.com, and yesterday Rob Call made it the leading article. Since then, an honest conversation has developed and includes everyone from conservatives to libertarians to us liberals. And Joe adds, back in the Army, I had a sergeant say, I don't worry about a soldier until he stops complaining. One of the characteristics of America today, Joe says, is people are no longer engaging in honest debate. Mostly we're just shouting at each other and saying how they are destroying America. We have started people of differing opinions talking to each other again. I think if we can keep people talking, America has a chance. And like I, in responding to Joe, I said, you know, I'm proud that the Horn was able to help start that dialogue because that's exactly why the Horn does in fact exist. But something else happened in the course of going to see, Joe's essay over at opednews.com. I went to the site and I looked at it and I'm scrolling down and reading and now a couple of nights ago I told you about the filthy ad that's been put out by the Faces of Coal, the Federation of Americans for Coal and Energy Security Faces. And it's the one with the bandanaed, desperately dangerous flannel shirt-wearing eco-environmentalist outside agitators, and it says in big red letters, if they win, you lose. Can you afford higher electricity rates? Well, actually, no. When it comes right down to it, if the market wins, we lose, because we're not made, no environmentalist is making the cost of coal go up. The cost of coal is way down, and that's hurting That's hurting some families here in Appalachia, the less than 4,000 that are actively engaged in blowing up our homes and thinking that they've got a right to do that as long as it keeps them in cheap Chinese crap clothing from Walmart and keeps the wife on her tanning bed with new bulbs every year. Anyway, that ad is out there all over the place, and I only learned about it, and I shared it with you because of the enduring good work being done by our good friend Jeff Biggers, who blogs at Huffington Post and Grist, and is writing. He's got a new book coming out, published by Nation Books. It's called Reckoning at Eagle Creek. It'll hit in January, and we'll be talking about it long before that, and I'm sure Jeff will be on the program to talk about it, and I'm hoping you'll buy it. At any rate, and again, not getting paid to say that, just the right thing to say. And there's real pleasure in that. And there's real honesty and some real integrity in it, too. But anyway, it was because of Jeff and his work that I knew about this ad of the faces of coal. And so I'm scrolling down the article at opednews.com, and it was like having a hand just reach out from the computer monitor and just slap the snot out of me, because you know opednews.com is a pretty liberal site, progressive thoughts, a lot of stuff that, and so I'm sitting there going, Jesus Christ, not here. So I dropped a little note to Rob Call, whom I know and have met and had conversations with, and Rob's a good guy, and just explained to him a little bit about the realities of mountaintop removal. And it was, of course, Google Ads, and there's a whole separate issue with, you know, if an ad is tendered to CNN that says anything even remotely critical of the right-wing hate mongers, CNN will say, well, this doesn't pass our advertising integrity standards, and we won't run it. But Google Ads, the corporation that has the motto that says, don't be evil, that Google? Well, Google Ads, you know, that there's a caveat or an addendum on that, because where their advertising is concerned, Google Ads' motto is, don't be evil unless there's a buck in it. Because these stupid, foul, vile, godforsaken faces ads are being run via Google Ads. And it's one of those things where you don't have just a heck of a lot of choice. You take Google Ads, you run Google Ads. And if you and God only knows what's going to show up. It's going to be based on some sort of bizarre-ass algorithms, and you, who knows? So there in Joe's essay about what a real civil war would look like in America, an ad, lo and behold, from the coal industry, advocating what has been for the last several months in Appalachia, for all intents and purposes, an undeclared civil war. You've all seen the YouTube video of July 4th at Cayford Mountain. You know what Adam Pauly is seen doing on that thing. It's nasty. And you know about Judy Bonds being slapped, hit, struck, battered by a friend of coal. You know about it because you listen to the horn. So bless his heart, anyway, I dropped a note to Rob Call, and I said, you know, hey, let's not run this. And so we went, you know, we exchanged a couple of emails, and I showed him what the ad was, and I showed him where it took him to, and he has said that if it's at all possible within the scheme of things, that he will make sure that that ad doesn't run on Op-Ed News anymore. Good. Thank you, Rob. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. From the bottom of the hearts of the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch and the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition and the Highlands Conservancy, thank you. From the bottom of the hearts of the folks up Printer Holler who have been damn near massacred by these same faces thugs, thank you. Thank you. But it also shines a bright light on what we have to put up with in order to keep things going. And it ain't easy. And it's not easy for Rob to keep opednews.com going There's a constant funding drive for our friends over at BuzzFlash.com. BartCop.com struggles to survive. And, you know, he's the granddaddy of the liberal blogosphere. I mean, he was the liberal blogosphere when there wasn't no liberal blogosphere, BartCop. So, it's a struggle for everybody. It's more of a struggle for some than for others. But the particular things... particular thanks to Rob Call. Marty chiming in and saying, if Rob Call can really do that, please have him get with John Amato at Crooks and Liars, because I'm tired of seeing ads for Ann Coulter plastered all over the site. And I remember when John Aravosis over at AmericaBlog.com was taking, and I piled on a little bit, taking a rasher of grief for running fiendish coal ads. It's my understanding, and John Fox knows about this better than I do, it is my understanding that you don't have to take everything that comes down the pike from Google. But I'm sure it is made less than simple to avoid taking it. So again, kudos and thank you. From Appalachia, thank you to Rob Call at opednews.com, and I look forward to not being assaulted by that filthy little ad when I go to read good original progressive commentary at his site. And a quick reminder, we are going straight back to the phones, I promise, but a quick reminder, I mentioned this toward the end of the program last night, and I would really appreciate your help with this, and spread it around, please. An organization called Brighter Planet has a project fund, and it's a $5,000 grant. And, you know, times are always tough at Cold River Mountain Watch, and they have an application in with the Brighter Planet project fund for something called SEED. Sustainable Energy and Economic Diversification in the Coal River Valley. And you can go to brighterplanet.com and click on the tab that says Project Fund. And then there's a relatively simple process to register and cast your votes. And it doesn't cost you a blessed dime. But you can go a long way toward helping folks rethink what a coal-free and a mountaintop removed economy looks like in southern West Virginia. The text for the project says the Coal River Valley is at the epicenter of coal extraction in Appalachia. Ravaged by crushing forces of mountaintop removal and the corroding effects of black lung and industry-related ailments, community members in the Coal River Valley are all ready for something new. Coal River Mountain Watch's mission is to end mountaintop removal and create a sustainable economy in its place and sustainable communities. The Sustainable Energy and Economy Diversification Program, SEED, is working towards the second part of CRMW's mission. Despite the economic hardship and environmental degradation in this region, many of the elements of a sustainable economy are alive and well in the folk traditions of local residents. And Andrew Munn, who authored this, is correct. You know, Appalachian folks were sustainable before sustainable was cool. It was called staying alive. Andrew writes, the SEED program seeks to combine these common sense traditions and ethics with 21st century concepts of sustainability and appropriate technology. Between November 2009 and August 2010, we will interview community members, identify community-led entrepreneurial projects, select 5 projects to support, document our work on the website journeyupcoalriver.org, and adapt our results as lesson plans for distribution in regional high schools and colleges. By creating economic alternatives and presenting them in an educational format to a wide audience of young people, this project will reduce local economic dependency on fossil fuel extraction and help educate a new generation of sustainability and justice-minded Americans. So again, you can go to brighterplanet.com, brighterplanet.com, B-R-I-G-H-T-E-R, planet, P-L-A-N-E-T, brighterplanet.com. Click on the Project Fund tab and look for sustainable energy and economic diversification in the Coal River Valley. And I think with your help, we can maybe put this over the top. But don't just do it yourself. Write a sentence or two and send it around your email list. And try. It's got 1,083 votes right now. I'd love to see the Horn family jack that through the roof and put it past any other competing plan. Do you have time to do that? Can you do that? I refrain from asking you to do things a whole bunch. But this is one of those that is well worth your doing. And it's another one of those moments where you can look up and you can say, I had a hand in helping folks in Appalachia become fully realized American citizens. Because right now, the fact of the matter is, we're not. We're not. We're a resource colony. If you've listened to this program for very long at all, you know that. We're no different a resource colony than any other place that is raped for its resources and then left to hang on its own petard. And this is an easy way to take a bite out of some of that. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey, David.
Yes, I just wanted to get my extra minutes in from last night.
Okie dokie. You certainly have them coming, and thanks for the coffee link.
Yeah, no problem. One thing I wanted to start off with is I guess we are in the apocalypse because at the top of the charts is Barbra Streisand, and she's the first artist to do it in 5 consecutive decades. So that's pretty amazing.
Wow.
If you think about that.
I'm still not going to play any Barbara's bumper music, though. You can't make me.
All right, that's okay. You don't have to. You can't. Can you play an instrumental version of Alfie, though? Bill Evans' version is pretty good. But anyways, I did want to say, since it's prayer night related, I want to make this a great prayer night story. It actually is a nightmarish. It actually is pretty funny that it's kind of ironic that the person. I don't know if we talked about. Did we talk about Robert Crumb yet?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Robert Crumb, famous cult artist who made Fritz the Cat and...
Oh, yeah,
Many different album covers from Janis Joplin and the Brothers Company.
Big Brother and the Holding Company, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. And, well, he's decided to... he's finished his 4-year painstaking project of illustrating the Bible's Genesis. It's coming out in October, and here's a quote from the press conference. I really wish YouTube would have the press conference. He said, I avoided explicit sex because I didn't want to ridicule, but you can't ever please true believers. If you're messing around with their sacred text, they won't like it. Perhaps someone will want to kill me. He goes along and says, the Bible is not the word of God. It's the words of men. I take it as a myth from start to finish. And then he says later on, he says why he didn't play it up with any of his usual antics and lampooning cartoon figures. He said the Bible is already crazy enough as it is.
Well, there is, and look, that's not a joke. It's the dirtiest book on the planet, and I'm including the Kama Sutra.
Well,
and that's not dirty, you know. That's actually healthy sex. It's the unhealthy, creepy stuff. That helps push along the Bible sales over the generations, because all that knowing and did know and they brought forth a youngin.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take much of a dirty mind to put some skin around that filth.
I understand completely. The reason why I called though is not that and not the Barbra Streisand thing. Amazingly, we're not going to talk about Barbra Streisand. We're gonna. I think tonight. It's good to discuss the finances of the Horn, and I've been thinking about this for a few months. And one of the things that I think we need to come to terms with as listeners of it is we're going to need to get involved into fundraising. So I had an idea. In case people didn't know, I am a eBay seller. I just earned my Power Seller and Top Rated Seller badge just now. So I'm pretty much in a group of, I don't know how many, but not as many people do it at that level. So I do know a thing about selling. And one thing I do know is that anyone can do this, so I've decided to do this. I was cracking some numbers, and I think if I have some dedicated sellers with their time, we can keep it down to, I don't know, 2 to 3 hours a day. If you sell your items, we can raise the money that we'll need, and we won't need to depend on that many contributions. We will lessen that. And here's what I'm thinking. I've set up a Gmail account to mentor people, hornauction@gmail.com. So if anyone has any questions regarding how to do eBay sales, I will show you how to do it. And I will probably, you'll probably be selling within 2 weeks' time, maybe a week, if you're really a go-getter. So my point is that it doesn't take that much. If we have 10 people who do this, and they make, let's say they make 100 a week, well, that's a no-brainer, and it doesn't take that much to make 100 a week. You can do it with pretty much anything, and I can show you how to do it, and I'll show you the right keywords. I'll show you how to do the sequencing and all of that, and
we have so got to get the website up and functional, fully functional again, because this is the kind of thing that is perfect. Is perfect for HeadOnRadioNetwork.com.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I just thought of something really smart how to do this for fundraising, so people know the items are for fundraising. At the end of every, I've mentioned this before, and it's important. Most people don't do it, so here's a lesson for people who are just with their felt pen. Always take up the 55 characters. A lot of people don't understand that. But it has to do with trial and error of people searching for items that they're looking for. And you never know when you're going to hit upon that sale. And that's important. So people always do the 55 characters. Fill it all to the brim. That's the that's the number one rule. That's
55 characters is what you're allowed to use in order to for the product description?
Yes, for the title. So here's the ingenious thing that I think that we can do that will separate us. And it might start a trend on eBay, and you might be surprised with how much people start contributing money-wise after word gets spread around. If you take 50 characters or 51, well, actually 50 characters in a space, you could put the word horn at the end of every item that you're listing. So almost it's almost like a watermark in a sense. It's a digital watermark. So people will see that, and they'll realize that it is for contributions to a community for conversation radio. And then we can get into the graphics and all of that, and we could also do that with, whatever someone has. If someone has any ideas of what they want to sell, this is the other thing that I would suggest. It is solely upon you what you want to sell. If you guys hit me up at hornauction@gmail.com, just ask me specifically on my advice to start with, the templates, what to work with. If you need help setting up, listings and a proper way for an introduction for an item and stuff like that, I can help you with that, and I can give you pointers and stuff like that. But I would take advantage of this, people. If you really want to do this, you can, and it's not hard. And I promise you, you will raise money. If you follow a simple narrative of a target of what you want to sell, you find a niche, do like a 1 week of research, and I guarantee you, Bob, this is the idea. This is something anyone can do, and you can sell anything on there.
Yeah, really, really, and the operative word is anything.
That's right. You can sell anything. I'll give you an example. What am I selling this week? I'm in a good place, so people don't get jealous. I'm selling glass negatives this week from the 1800s, and I have, like, a ton. I have over, I don't know, 200 or 300, so I'm going to be pretty busy this week. And then I'm also, you know, selling art prints, and, you know, I get into glassware and paper. I like challenges, so sometimes when my friend tells me who mentored me, he says, you can't sell that. And I'll be like, I'll show you I can sell this. And I do sell it. And so my suggestion to people is if you think you can't sell it, I want to smash that idea out of your mind, completely hammer it. Because people have been lying to you. There are people who do make a good living at what they do because they're strategic and they research and they understand the marketplace. And they're savvy at it as well. And they're not too greedy. That's important. I work in the market of minimized risk. And I know what to do and I know what makes money. And I can veer a lot of people through there. And here's the great thing about it. Let's do the big sell, Bob. Here's the big sell. Like a Glengarry Ross type sell.
Always be closing.
Yes, always be closing. If you make more and you contribute, I sound like those SNC commercials with the guy from the Happy Days. You can sell lots of stuff. But I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it's like an infomercial. But anyways, what you can do is if you raise the money that you need to raise, which is I'm thinking 100 a week. Let's keep it 100 a week, okay? Bang, let's lock that in. 100 a week. Now I really do sound like QVC.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, 100 a week. After that, all of that, as my friend says, is gravy. You can keep that. So raise 100 a week, and here's what I'll do. If people raise 100 a week, that will inspire me to contribute 100 a month.
So, what are you saying that you want an aggregate of 100 a week,
what
or you
I'm
want
saying,
individuals?
I would like for people to do 50 to 100 to start with. Let's do a target for a start for that for sales per week to raise money for the horn. I want people to keep in mind, like, the costs that you're going to be working with. And, you know, that's also why I would suggest some people who are interested email me at Horn Auction. I'm going to be saying this a lot from now on. HornAuction@gmail.com. And like I said, I'll veer you through it. I'll tell you the right template. I'll tell you the right listing service to go through. I like Ink Frog myself. It's $9.95 a month. They do have a great community, and they will answer your questions pretty quickly, and the support team is great there. So I would suggest Ink Frog, but you have to look into what you want to look into. But what I'm saying is basically I want to veer people through those uncharted waters that they haven't charted before, and I'll just be kind of like the navigator. And what I want to do is I want to inspire people to be their own fundraiser, to do something that they never thought that they could do. Because I was in that situation as well, but when I was told and explained how to do it, I understood very quickly, and I understood what it was that I wanted to be selling, which was, in my case, I wanted to sell everything.
This is really, really intriguing, David. I honestly don't know how much time folks have to devote to it, but we will certainly see. And there's a how I often note that God is a God of irony.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not giving away any secrets, I don't think, and I don't think Wayne would object. You know, Gina, to whom we refer every night with the close of the program, she's been gone several years now. She never got to hear this incarnation of the horn get started, but she was every reason in the world for why it did. But Gina was a genius eBayer.
Mm.
I mean, a genius eBayer. She was like you're talking about. I mean, she knew down to the most minute detail how to make something sell, and she was forever going to estate sales and flea markets and stopping at falling down houses by the side of the road. Wayne has told me the stories. They're hilarious. And had an eye for what she knew that, you know, that because there's somewhere in America, there are 10 people that want something and they're willing to bid it up to get it.
Right.
And so it's no particular, but I just wanted to point that out because of the delightful. It's almost like a little message from somewhere out in the ether. To have you raise this issue.
It might be, but you know, one of the things I wanted to bring up was I want to keep this network out of the, I want to help keep this network out of the abyss. And I understand the pattern of people when it comes to contributing and donating. And one way you need to do that is to me, you have to have this this fallback plan, and this is what we would call the reserve money. And to me, again, it doesn't take much effort to get a little bit of sales, and I'm confident that pretty much I think everybody can do it. I would suggest, of course, small items, and I would suggest doing a little research, and if you guys want suggestions on what you want to sell, give me an idea where your region is. Again, I don't know how many times I've mentioned this email, but hornauction@gmail.com. You guys hit me up and ask me specific questions, and I'll answer them to the best of my ability. And I think that's a place where we can start with. I'd like to see by November... I think let's put this on for a goal. Let's try to raise 100 collectively.
Everybody working together.
Yes, everybody working together will raise 100, and then we can, you know, raise it accordingly, and we can decide where a proper marker is for people. Where to stop. Because I don't want to put people in a position of that way. What I want to do is I want to get people in these little increments. So when we have those increments, and I know some people may be saying, well, this is kind of crazy, I don't know. Well, you know, technically it is unorthodox, but here's what I want people to understand. When you're in a dire position, you aren't going to be laughing because you're going to have that fallback money.
Exactly.
It's that simple. It really is that simple. And the bigger picture is that fallback money could be 1 year away, it could be 2 years away, it could be 5 years away. But I think it's really great to realize that if you can understand that point and you prepare for it ahead of time, and we can prepare for it ahead of time because we have the technology to do so, and we also have the access to do this, and since we have a lot of listeners out there, if you really do want to help, and if you were ever interested in getting into this kind of line of work for yourself, who knows, you might even turn it into a side business for yourself. I can't make any promises, but all I can do is I know you can raise the money with the people out there. I'm pretty much confident on that. You can call it you can call it arrogance, you can call it stubbornness, you can call it whatever you want, but I do know that you could raise the money very easily in this kind of strategy. And then here's the other thing. By then we could also that could open the door for other fundraising possibilities. But for now, let's get our feet wet. And Let's generate some money for the horn instead of going into.
You know, it's a brilliant idea, and it doesn't call on anybody to spend anything.
No, it doesn't. And the only thing you have to concern yourself with is the cost of doing business. That's why I suggest to people to email me, and like I said, I will veer people through that area, those areas. Like, what is the best way? What's the best price to get in to start with? And things like that. So your costs will be low when it comes to listing. And the best way to get people, you know, to generate traffic, to increase traffic, if you want to get into... Now, if we have some heavy hitters who want to get in the area of starting a store, we can do that. But for now, I want to stick with the 7-day auctions. And then I can show you the wonders of the selling world that you won't believe your eyes what you can do with it if you just look. I believe it, Bob. I'm saying this right now. If people are interested in fundraising, we can do it. We can do it to a point where we don't have to put that much stress upon anyone, and it won't take that much of an effort. And I don't know. I think we can raise the money a month per that and beyond.
It sounds absolutely fascinating. And you know, one of the ancillary benefits to this is that, you know, what you're doing here, David.
Yeah.
Is I realize that you're thinking along the lines of how we keep the horn alive.
Right.
And how we make, and you know, and we want to get to the point where we're not just alive and not just, you know, sort of breathing, but living. And like Kate said, yeah, taking us off the edge, but going forward and having money to get out and travel and go and cover events and be a public face for liberal discourse. And pay off equipment bills and get needed equipment. We won't get into the particulars.
Yeah.
But the thing that has tormented the liberal blogosphere and the liberal internet has been the question of where that model is. And this is a larger overarching question, and I want to commend you for thinking on it, because this isn't just the horn. This is the question of how we ethically and sustainably create and support a new media model that isn't predicated on other outside interests purchasing influence. And by that I mean, how does to use the example that I mentioned earlier, how does a Rob Call run a great website like opednews.com and not run afoul of the commercial world's desire to use his hard work to leverage evil, as is the case in that Faces ad? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and I just want to stress to people that here's something else to think about. When it comes down to a time where you don't have money, here's the thing, perspective to keep in mind. Someone else will in the world, because you're dealing in low range type of selling. So when you have a world market access, I don't care however much this economy of the world is suffering, you're always going to have somebody who is going to want to spend $10 or $5.
Sure, that seems only rational.
Right. And the point is that I understand that people say, well, all we have to do is keep funding it, and that's great. But you don't want to be in that position where you're in a dire moment and you don't have that fallback plan. And this is opening the door to that fallback plan. And also, this is opening the door to. See, this is also opening the door to other fundraising. Here's an example of fundraising that someone may want to get involved with that they may not be aware of. There's a guy who created something called soy-based Play-Doh. And the reason why he did that was because kids were allergic.
And kids eat Play-Doh.
Right. And he's actually so genius that he took the patent, and now Play-Doh has to directly go through him. And he said the one reason why he wanted to do it was for his small town in, I believe it was Wisconsin or Wyoming, and he wanted to create jobs for them in that area. And one of the interesting things for his fundraising is I find this kind of odd. I've never seen this kind of business structure, but for people who want to sell his soy-based, it's called Sawyer Dough, when people want to sell Sawyer Dough, you get half of the profits, which I've never seen it. I've never seen anything like that.
And see that, but that goes back to some of the stuff that we were talking about last night in terms of the open source model.
Right.
This
goes to what Scott was saying.
Yeah.
This connects in a lot of different ways. So, you know, I'm not going to take up too much of people's time. I want other people to chime in with what they have to say. I would just say hit me up at hornauction @gmail.com. If you guys want to see some examples of listings, I can give you some demonstrative examples. If you need some help with titles, remember what I said, though. If somebody's already writing listings right now, I applaud you on that one. Always use 55 characters. And
hornauction@gmail.com.
Yep, at hornauction@gmail.com. And let's get this started so we'll never, ever, Bob, we'll never, ever, ever be in this position again where you and Agnes and your family don't have to stress, and where all of us can take pride in helping in this effort in a way that is an outreach for when people see this. Here's the other thing, real quickly before I go. Here's the other thing. When people see what you're putting up and how you interact with them, that's key too. When you respond to these people and you interact, they're going to see that you're genuine, and that's a brand you can't tarnish. You can't manufacture it. It's in short supply. So if we have dedicated sellers like that, I'm known as a generous seller on eBay. I give a lot of free things away. Some people think I'm crazy in that regard, but I have a lot of stuff that I can do that with. And my point is that if you are that person, your business will come. Your revenue will come. And it may be a slow process, like I said, in increments. But it's important to realize that if we take efforts in fundraising, whatever it is, whether it is you want to do eBay or whatever it is, if this opens the doors for a perception to start fundraising, I'm glad I did it. But you know what? I really do think it's time, and it's time to get involved on this kind of level, because we tried the other way, and that was good. But when it comes down to when we have a downturn economy, we do need fallback money. And I'll tell you what, it'll be sweet when you have that pile of fallback money, and we can just look back and say, well, I'm glad we did that.
Hear, hear. David, thank you so much for the brainstorming. I do appreciate it. We all do.
No problem, Bob.
All right. Horn Auction, HORNAUCTION.
@gmail.com.
Take care, David.
Later.
Bye now. Calling from Maine, that's David, our pop culture correspondent, but eBay power seller as well. And that's a great idea if you want to get involved. You know, that's the kind of volunteerism that drives that drives this ongoing experiment in what media can be. Future tense. And of course, it would be nice if the future weren't tense, but that's what Kate was talking about. And onward we go, I think. You know the phone number, by the way, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. What's on your mind? Bring it to the, come on down to the altar, brethren and sister, and this is prayer meeting. Testify, I'm telling you, testify, hallelujah. Yes. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke.
Oh. Well, let's see, we have some interesting ones this week. Well, isn't it interesting? The pig man wants to own an NFL team.
I mentioned that briefly in the show last night. You know, Chris, who hails from the St. Louis area, wrote to share that story with me. And I realize that it's not on the earth-shattering continuum of, like, today's anniversary of the hellish little war that George started in Afghanistan and is being perpetuated under President Obama. It's not on the same level as that. But there is something that is symptomatic, shall we say. It is symptomatic of a sick country that it would allow a drug-addled, street addict like Limbaugh to get his filthy mitts on something that we are constantly told is an Michael Vick got hung out to dry because the children are watching him play the football and they can't have no dog fighter playing quarterback.
Well, the thing I thought of when I thought of it was, now I can't remember who it was, it was a few years ago, but I remember somebody trying to buy a football team one time and he got told to go away because the NFL has something in their contracts called a morals clause. And one of the things they do before they sell it is they do a very thorough background check. And I'm just wondering if Pigman's got all of his problems covered.
Better hope them little Dominican boys are paid off.
I was gonna say there might be interest if the NFL sends, because I remember somebody trying to buy a few years ago, and I can't remember who it was, and got turned away because they said they didn't want his kind of person buying a team. can't think who it was offhand, but I remember they do a full background check on me. And I'm sitting there going, oh, please do. Please do.
Yeah, and don't forget to check into the social history of one Jeff Christie. Jeff Christie! That's 9 minutes after the hour. And my friends, I'm playing old, worn-out rock and roll with half my brain tied behind my back.
I still remember that station check. It used to be, I can't think where it was. I remember going.
I tried to play it the other night, but I forgot to have Real Player loaded on my machine, so.
I know. Well, apparently, Mr. Moore went on a Fox last night and took Mr. Hannity and turned him inside out.
Yeah, he had him for dinner, didn't he?
Apparently, Mr. Hannity tried to claim he was a church-going man. Mr. Moore asked him, fine, what was the sermon this past Sunday? And amazingly enough, all of a sudden, Mr. Hannity developed amnesia.
I was asleep, Michael. That's where I get some of my best napping done, is there in the pews. That's what it's for, church is for. You go and you get a good nap from 11 to noon, and then you go to the cafeteria down the street and hope you beat the Church of Christ to getting there.
Well, that's good. I expect if everybody wants to go over to, I think, the Media Matters and over at Crooks and Myers, it's fun to watch. But like I say, Mr. Moore had Mr. Hannity for lunch. Because he already said that Michael Moore said he wouldn't do Beck's show and he ain't going to do O'Reilly's show. You know, when he said he would do Fox, but said he won't go on either one of their shows. But he said, not that all of them aren't, but he said, I ain't going out on there to, support the purveyors of hate. Like I said, you're Fox. Who you going to find? Media Matters also has this other thing up now. Apparently Mr. Dobbs and Mr. Hannity are both having trouble understanding what facts are on this whole thing with the Kevin Jennings case. But apparently, Mr. Dobbs and Mr. Hannity, even though both of their networks have already said he did nothing illegal, are still claiming he did. I mean, it's like, here they are, they go out there and hear the facts, and next thing you know, they're saying, well, that isn't a fact. No. He was talking to him 2 years before then. He was 14. No. But come on. And you just wonder how often they're going to let, you know, how is Lou just trying to walk out on the plank, see how far he can go? And he's sitting there going, you guys at Fox got the new office ready for me?
And please don't challenge that man to get any crazier, Luke.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, sometimes I'm wondering with this stuff he's doing, is he just trying to see if he can push it to the point where they'll fire him so he can, I'm sure, trigger something in his contract where he'll make more money. But it just... You know, each night it's sort of like trying to push it a little bit further. Oh, a minute ago you were talking about a guy. I'd forgotten until somebody brought it up. I read it somewhere. Now, isn't this wonderful General McChrystal who's out shooting his mouth off all over the place? Isn't this the same general that was involved in the whole Pat Tillman thing?
Wasn't he?
I think he was. Or at least he was the one out there saying there's nothing wrong, while the parents are going, yes, there is.
Oh, well, he was in charge of the investigation, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it's like, well, we can't find anybody to blame this for, other than a few lower people. It's like, you know good and well this thing went all the way up to, they just discussed this in certain rooms in that big five-sided building. But don't tell me this was decided out in the field. Let's see what else we got on here. I like to write things down so I don't lose track.
No worries.
I saw that the thing here they had, the New York Times now said they're having this thing where they're following up on all these things on the right wing because, you know, they don't want to get caught like missing the Acorn story again. And I was sitting there going, well, gee, this means the New York Times is going to have to hire a lot of people just to cover all the crap that Drudge puts out. If they're going to have to follow down all the stuff he puts up on his board, that's going to be at least half a dozen people working on that 24/7. So maybe that's the New York Times' new idea to hire new people. Let's keep going.
I know.
The thing last night you talked about, we talked about the SNL skit. I think it's a good thing. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, you know, it's one of those things I understand some people may not like it, but it's like, look, gang.
Hey, if we can, look, we know the other side can't take a joke.
Yeah.
If we can, I mean.
And like I say, it's like the thing with Stewart and Colbert. It's one of those things, you know, it's like, these guys are telling the truth. They just put it in humor so everybody likes it. You know, and it's one of those things that SNL was like, look, guys.
Well, look, it's the mixture of silly and serious. Remember the guy that the right-wingers said would be a clown in the Senate? That would be Senator Franken?
That's all it was. He just got his first thing passed.
Well, I caught Senator Franken being real smart and serious.
Oh, yeah.
And doing something downright noble. I don't know that people will remember the name, but certainly the circumstances they will. Jamie Lee Jones. This is the young woman who was gang raped by her Halliburton KBR co-workers.
You know,
not by Al Qaeda or anything, but by good old red blooded Americans. And they stuffed her in a shipping container, told her not to go get health care, and told her if she left Iraq for medical treatment, she'd be out of a job. And hers was not the only case, by the way.
Oh, no.
But then,
when it got to court.
Well, that's the whole point. She didn't get to court.
But tried to get to court. I mean,
right. She couldn't get to court because she'd signed a contract with Halliburton KBR with fine print in it, saying that, by the way, if anything evil happens to you and you'd need to sue the company, you've got to go to arbitration. You can't, you know, the courts of the United States, those doors are closed to you, sister. And Al Franken took up her case. And just, you know, you and me listening, and the rest of us, Luke.
Just those of us who actually hit the C-SPAN button by mistake.
I think it's actually worthwhile to hear what the right wing said would constitute a clown in the United States Senate. We won't listen to all of it. It's kind of long.
Madam President.
Senator from Minnesota.
Thank you. Madam President, the amendment I offer today is inspired by the courageous story of a young woman who has dedicated 4 years of her life to make sure that no other woman lives through her nightmare. 4 years ago, at the age of 19, Ms. Jamie Lee Jones signed a contract to become an employee of KBR, then a Halliburton subsidiary. That contract contained a clause which required her to arbitrate any future dispute against her employer. This means it forced her to give up her right to seek redress in court if she was wronged. At the time, Ms. Jones had no idea what implications this seemingly innocuous fine print clause would have. Ms. Jones arrived in Iraq in July of 2005. Immediately, she complained to supervisors about the hostile conditions imposed by KBR. She was constantly being harassed by her male colleagues and was housed in barracks with 400 men and only a few women. Her pleas for safer housing were ignored. 4 days after her arrival, Ms. Jones was drugged and gang raped. She requested medical attention, and a doctor administered a rape kit. Parts of that rape kit have since mysteriously disappeared. After Ms. Jones reported the rape to her supervisors, she was locked in a shipping container with an armed guard and prohibited any contact with the outside world. They locked her in a container.
They imprisoned her. But, you know, that doesn't sound very clownish to me, Luke. That sounds like a very serious, very intelligent, very well-spoken, very literate man. And this was all over an amendment to the 2010 Defense Appropriations Bill that would withhold contracts from companies like KBR, and this is the language from the amendment, if they restrict their employees from taking workplace sexual assault, battery, and discrimination cases to court. Totally reasonable, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, speaking of clowns in the United States Senate, by the way, the amendment passed. The amendment passed rather convincingly, as a matter of fact. But it passed 68 to 30. It was supported by 10 Republican senators, including the brand new Florida Senator George Lemieux. And, but it was opposed by 30 Repiglicans. One of those, speaking of clowns, was the poster child for Repiglick and clowns in the Senate. Care to guess?
Oh, there's so many good choices here.
I know. But it's in keeping with a senator who would look at a man of color and say, "Boy, you want to be careful how you talk to the white women around here, son."
The Honorable Jeff Sessions.
That's right, Senator Jefferson Beauregard Sessions III. He said, "I'm voting against this y'all amendment because it ain't nothing but a political attack directed at Halliburton." What the hell? Luke, come on. We're Southern boys, right? You, me, we can talk. Whatever happened to the southernly, gentlemanly impulse to stand up for the fine, fair flower of womanhood? I guess it goes by the wayside when you get a big bag of money from Halliburton, doesn't it?
I'm gonna say, you know, you look down there, basically they show them just from the waist up. It's like, show me down there her feet where I can see him kick that satchel of money underneath the chair. Come on, I want to see him.
Yeah, don't look down there, boy. No, there ain't no money down there. No, get that camera back up. Yeah.
Lunch, leave it alone. Yeah. Oh. I found somebody new that I have not been watching, but I'm going to have to start taping him. Mr. Rattigan. This thing with the Macaulay, whatever, the lady, the death panel woman.
Oh!
He had her on his show, I guess, yesterday with Michael, I can't say his name right now, I don't want to insult him, Wiener from Florida. I never can say his name right now, I apologize for that. A Democratic representative from Florida. They were on there talking about health care, except only him and Mr. Rattigan were. Apparently she was on there talking something totally different. She was on another channel, apparently.
Is this the one where at one point he reached over with her ass in his hand? Is this yours?
Well, it's the one where, what was it? Let me pull it up here. I'm sorry, I got
it
here.
Well, is it the one where she admitted that she ultimately her goal is to cut Medicare benefits? Because she did that in the last couple of days, too, this Becky McCoey, Cooey, Coffee. Can't somebody get a normal name around here?
Go down in history as one of the most browbeating interviews in television history. Reagan says, "I hope that it does, and maybe you'll learn to go on television and answer questions as opposed to casting accusations."
Hot diggity.
Yeah, so apparently he's had enough of her. Just essentially said, "Look, you know, quit trying to change the subject, because, you know, answer the question you're asked." You know, it's one of those things where you ask a question, all of a sudden, "Well, you know, the Flyers are going to do good this year." It's like, huh? Like, "Oh, are you hearing something else on your earpiece? Because I didn't hear anything about that." You know, but apparently he's you know, on MSNBC in the mornings, which unfortunately I don't get to see. But like I say, apparently he's at the point he's getting sort of like Mr. Overman, to the point it's like, "I ain't listening to this crap any which way," you know, because it's crap to start with. Oh, and just for anybody that is paying attention, we have about 30 minutes to not his Mr. Oberman's hour-long commentary.
It's going to be an hour?
An hour.
Hoo-wee.
Since he's doing this thing on healthcare, I assume the way they describe it, that's what it sounds like. I doubt it'll be just him talking straight for an hour, but you know what I mean. Apparently, this is all about going to be on the healthcare debate. So, we'll see how that works out. I tell you what, bud, it's the bottom of the hour. Let me get out of here in case you need to run the green news or something.
None of that tonight, but good conversation, Luke. We get green news.
What do y'all got this weekend? Anything good for the boys in blue?
This weekend, who do we get? I think it's Connecticut this weekend.
Well, we get the Bulldoggies.
You know what? They're likely to have a little mad on.
Oh, that's one of the things. It's like with us. You know, I'd almost rather beat them than beat Florida.
You know, I got to tell the truth though. Wasn't it Georgia that got screwed on the unsportsmanlike conduct call?
Oh, they did. But you know, I mean, it's one of those. That's one of those things where I think both ways. It's just like if you look at that, the LSU did too.
Well, but that was a make good.
Yeah, but you know, yeah, I agree. But I mean, that's what it is. That's one of them ones. It's like, okay, look, that's something that. that I think they're going to have to leave to the referees, and the referees are just going to have to say, tuck his hand up in the air. Okay.
I don't believe in a call changing. I don't believe in a judgment call like that changing the outcome of a game.
Well, I know. But you know what I mean. But it's one of those things. It's like, guys, either we're going to have to let the officials start, looking at this and, say this isn't, It's like, apparently what we have to do now is throw the ball, walk to the other side. Apparently, I guess we have to walk back behind the benches. Then we can start cheering.
Right. I mean, it's not like he went and did the Miami throat slit at the crowd or anything.
I said he didn't do the throat slit. He didn't do the tomahawk chop or something. You know what I mean? He essentially he could have just easily jumped up in the air. Just jumped up a foot and just yelled. But they would have said that's excessive. It's like, what? It's like, I want to see you do it to one of the 300-pound linemen when they make an interception or pick up a fumble and run in for a touchdown. You tell him he's doing something excessive. That's all the time he's ever going to get to do it in his lifetime, maybe.
Because he's a 350-pound lineman. And,
they don't see the ball that often.
They don't even do 40-yard sprints, man. They do 15-foot sprints.
That's one of the ones where if they're happy, if they run 10 yards, it's like they're better than food at the end of this run.
Right, and they meet him with the oxygen tank.
Yes, yeah. All right, buddy, you have a good evening.
You too, Luke. Good talking to you, brother.
All right, son.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
And we will take our halfway through the program break just now, if you don't mind. And light up the phones. We got open spaces if you want to get in on the conversation. Yeah, you know the number. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel. 304-658-3333. And a quick reminder, if you haven't, go over to brighterplanet.com, brighterplanet.com, click on the tab called Project Fund. You get 3 votes, I do believe, and vote for the Sustainable Energy and Economic Diversification in the Coal River Valley $5,000 project application. Brighterplanet.com, Project Fund tab, and you'll see, we were in first place last night. I think we've slipped to a tie for second. Maybe we're climbing back up. You listen, this is not a joke. You guys can make the difference. And how often do you get a chance to be an honest-to-God, straight-up difference maker? Not that often. So, A, light up the phones. B, go to brighterplanet.com. If you value the help that we get keeping this going from Coal River Mountain Watch, do this thing for them. It will be mightily appreciated. This is The Horn, and we'll be back.
If you're ever down in Texas, look me up, look me up. If you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Where the men are men and love it, and the gals are sure glad of it. So if you're ever down in Texas, look me up. Everybody's gonna holler, howdy do, howdy do. Everybody there'll be saying, we raise corn for hot tamales and grow dollies for the follies. So if you ever down in Texas, look me up.
Okay, I love that, but it's not the song that I thought I was clicking on. Let's try this again and see if here we go. Because it's prayer meeting night, right? Yeah, it's prayer meeting night. So, there. Now, this is The Horn.
That old-time religion, that old-time religion, that old-time religion, it's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas, good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Show me that place by the river, that place by the river. Show me that place by the river on Jordan's sunny show.
What say Daniel from the lions? Say Daniel from the lions. What got Daniel rid of the lions? Deacon started telling me.
Well, it was that old-time religion, that
that old-time religion. Yes, that old-time religion, and it's good enough for me.
It helped Daniel win the lions. It helped to set him free.
Well, if it was good enough for Daniel, then it's good enough for me.
Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
I'll be listening for Gabriel. Listening for Gabriel. I'll be listening for Gabriel to blow on Judgment Day.
What helped Elijah with the raven? Helped Elijah with the raven. What saved Elijah from the raven? Deacon, we is asking thee.
It was that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Yes, that old-time religion. And it's good enough for me.
It helped Elijah with the ravens. It helped to set him free.
If it was good enough for Elijah, then it's good enough for me.
Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. What helped David with the lion? Helped David slay Goliath. What saved David from Goliath? What was it set him free?
It was that old-time religion, religion. Old-time religion, religion. Old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
David with Goliath. It helped to set him free.
Well, if it was good enough for Davy, then it's good enough for me.
Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Now, what rescued Brother Jonah? What rescued Brother Jonah? What was it saved old Jonah from the belly of the whale?
It was that old-time religion, religion, old-time religion. Yes, that old-time religion. It's never known to fail.
Jonah with the whale. Yes, it helped to set him free.
Well, if it's good enough for Joni, then it's good enough for me. So give me that old-time religion, religion, old-time religion, religion, old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
Old-time.
Hallelujah, old-time religion. Lordy, old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. That old-time religion. Lordy, lordy, old religion.
It's good enough for me.
Preacher went out walking, 'twas on one Sunday morn. It was against his religion, but he took his gun along. He shot himself some mighty fine quail and one little measly hare. But on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Now the bear got down in the middle of the road on all fours like a great big toad and looked that preacher right square in the eye. And the preacher looked at him and said bye-bye, started down the road and took out the run. The bear right after that preacher did come, running the run for about a mile. Then they both sat down and rested a while. The preacher got up, started again. The bear, he started out with more vim, and they ran and they ran till he spotted the tree set up on the limb. It's a place for me. Bear got close, made a grab for him. Preacher leaped up and he made the limb, pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, "Oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace." So the good cook do declare, "Yes Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sake don't help that bear." Just about then, the limb let go and the preacher came tumbling down. Reached in his pocket, pulled his razor out just before he hit the ground. He hit the ground with an awful bang, it was a terrible sight. The preacher and the bear with the razor in his hair just cutting left and right. While they rolled around on the ground, the preacher was up and then he was down. The bear let out an awful moan, it looked like the preacher was holding his own. Thought if I'd get out of here alive, that good book I will abide. I'll never sin on Sabbath day, and Sunday come I'll pray and pray to the heavens. He did glance at Lord, just give me one more chance. Then his suspenders gave away and he knocked that bear 10 feet away. Then the preacher got up and made a bound for a tree where he'd be safe and sound. Pulled himself up and turned about, cast his eyes to the skies, and he did shout, "Oh Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den. Also delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. And then the Hebrew children from the fiery furnace." So the good book do declare, "Yes Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sakes don't help that bear."
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95? Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Yes, brethren and sister, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and we are back 20 minutes before the hour of 8 p.m. here on the East Coast. And light up the phones. Come on. You know how to do it. Got a couple flashing. Going to get to them right now. Hey, welcome to the program.
Boss.
Hey, Brother Gene.
Well, I got to say, I know it's a couple of days old, but what do you think of this idea of the conservatives wanting to rewrite the Bible? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, and that just flabbergasted. I don't know how you do it.
Well, I hate to say this, but I actually want him to do it.
Oh, I want him to do it real bad, and frankly, we were talking about Al Franken a few minutes ago, and I want him watching real close, because if you want a conservative version of the Bible, maybe the first thing you want to do is go and lift Al Franken's supply side Jesus.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
You remember that, don't you?
Actually, no, I don't. I'm going to have to go look that up.
Oh, I'll look it up.
Well, you can send it to me when you get that. But I was, it's funny because our friend, the Foxhole Atheist, commented on that too, and he actually said a couple of things that I hadn't thought about, because basically what he was saying was that, with them wanting to, you know, put it up above a seventh grade level and that kind of thing. He's actually trying to say that the conservatives are wanting to put the Bible out of the reach of most Americans who generally read at seventh grade level. I don't know. I'm assuming that's true. But, you know, and I hadn't thought about that because it's like, geez, so much for the democratization of religion.
Gene, I kind of object to that too.
Huh.
The idea of the democratization of religion, because the fact of the matter is, you cannot edit away the realities of the bigotries that are inherent in both the Old and the New Testament.
Well,
I mean, there's some of it even in the Gospels, but, and there's some outright wackiness in the, you know, if you read it closely, you can tell the spots where Jesus was having a real bad day.
Uh-huh.
But once you get past the Gospels, and especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but most assuredly when you get into Acts and all those Pauline letters, any notion of democracy goes out the window. Any notion of equality goes out the window. Now, granted, there's that line in one of the Pauline letters, Gene, where it said, and the brothers and sisters held all things in common. If you want to talk about creating a conservative Bible, that's got to go, because after all, that is
socialism,
communism, or as we say down south, communism. They held all things in common. That one's out. That's got to go.
Well, Well, I really hope they do it, because it's like, geez, if they really do it, I mean, well, we've got a conservative Bible. Why not a liberal Bible? And I'm actually hoping. Well, I shouldn't say this. No, I'm not going to say it. I really hope they go way overboard in their revision, because boy, that opens such a can of worms and a whole. I mean, we could actually build a better Bible if we really wanted to. Thanks to them.
but again, what just blows me away, Gene, is this notion that there are conservatives, and frankly, I don't even like the word. They're not conservatives; they're fascists. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Straight up, yeah. You know, and the idea that they think that the Bible is too liberal. Where?
That is awful scary.
I mean, do they want to go back to Genesis and make the creepy and obvious even more creepy and more obvious?
Well, you know, I was thinking when I first read the story and sent it to you, I thought, gee, you know, no, this is interesting, because basically, and I know I'm going to get ragged on this for saying this, but the general consensus on the right side of the spectrum is Islam is this major bad religion. You know, as far as the Quran is kind of barbaric. That's the perception on the right. And geez, I was thinking, if they do this, they'll have turned, well, maybe the Bible's just, they'll have to go look. But if they do this, they'll for certain, up that violence value a lot. And I mean, just once they get to a point, are they just going to see if they can append it? I don't know. I was in a pretty wacky mood when I read that, but I was like, geez, you guys are just crazy.
You know, I don't know how you, and yea, verily, Moses did appear before Pharaoh, who was all new a liberal. Yeah, what? But
I don't know. But
it'll be fun to see. I hope they don't. I hope they don't wait around, because this is going to be a blast.
Oh yeah, it will be a blast. By the way, I saw a book.
I mean, are they going to put some? Look, hey, you know, they're conservatives. They're young earthers. Here's another idea. They can follow Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, and put some dinosaurs in the New Testament. And Bill Hicks has already written the test. Their text.
Well, you know.
And yea, verily, Jesus was walking down the road, and the disciples did come upon a great big daggum dinosaur. And the disciples did say, "Whoa, Jesus, that's a big dinosaur!" And they all ran away, for they were afeared.
Well, you know, there is that part in Genesis where they talk about replenish the earth, and it's like, okay, so what was on here before? You know, it's. So I suppose you could kind of fit the creationist view of human creation in there, you know, or our world creation in there. Boy, that's a good one. That's a good. I think they'll actually do that. Anyway, I read a book the other night. I didn't read the book, but I read a synopsis from the book on early Mormonism and the world of magic, which I thought you would absolutely love, and I'll try and send you a link to it, because it talks about
I can't wait, because they believed in a lot of bizarre stuff.
Yeah, and
especially if it got Joseph Smith laid.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'm sorry, that's probably a little bit too frank, but yeah, it's fact.
Well, no, it's okay. It's probably true. In fact, I'm sure it was true. But it was kind of funny, because it talks about, you know, the Smith belief in astrology, and I guess they had tear stones before, and that kind of thing. The author.
Well, they picked that whole seer stone thing. That was a fraud that was working in the community long before Joseph Smith just polished it up a little bit.
Oh yeah, that was what they were saying. That was what it was saying in the book reviews, and it was like, this is real. I mean, it's funny, because the guy that wrote the book is still, I mean, he had a point out with the church, but he's still believing Mormon, and it was the church that left him. So, his author, the last name is Quinn, by the way. I'll look it up right now and fire it off to you. But I thought that was cool, so I'll send it on to you, and I just had to throw it. I had to call in with that conservatizing the Bible article because it's like, oh, boy, what a can of worms you guys are about to...
No, it's a can of snakes, Gene. It's a can of snakes. Talking yeah, ones.
That's true. And, boy, good luck. I mean, this will certainly make a... This will put a crimp in Christianity for darn sure.
Yeah, putting the yeah in Christianity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Gene, have a wonderful evening, brother. Good hearing from you.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Bye now. The man who reads the internet, the entire internet, every morning before breakfast, that's News Ninja Gene. And what I was talking about, this came out of Al Franken's second book, Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them. Just a little bit of the text. You could look it up online. Gospel of Supply Side Jesus. Pilate speaking here. There are those in Jerusalem who are not happy with your radical new teachings, Supply Side Jesus. Watch yourself. Shouldn't you feed the lepers, Supply Side Jesus? No, Thomas, that would just make them lazy. Then shouldn't you at least heal them, Supply Side Jesus? No, James, leprosy is a matter of personal responsibility. If people knew I was healing lepers, there would be no incentive to avoid leprosy.
Supply Side Jesus, I think you've got a great line for your Sermon on the Mount. It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
For shame, Peter. That's class warfare. But that does give me an idea. It is easier for a rich man to enter heaven seated comfortably on the back of a camel than it is for a poor man to pass through the eye of a needle. If you're prosperous on earth, that means that God is rewarding your rugged individualism. If you're poor, it's a sign that God is frowning on your reliance on handouts. The only way to gain entrance into God's kingdom of abundance is to show your faith by giving to Him through His only Son, me, Supply Side Jesus. My disciples will now pass among you. And he who gives more than 1,000 shekels will become a Supply Side Jesus pioneer and have access to me at our annual Yom Kippur Break the Fast dinner. The word of the Lord. Sounds to me like the conservative Bible they're wanting to write, doesn't it, you? I mean, just saying. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
So, we're doing the conservative Bible now. Jeez. Where's all the bombs and the guns and the, you know, the...
Well, it's right there in the Gospel of Cordite, where it says... And yea, verily, Jesus did say, take up thy M16 and follow me.
Okay, I was just making sure.
And then a couple of verses later, it's that famous scene where he's got the little youngin' seated on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
And the little youngin' takes a pee, you know, because when you take a youngin' on your lap at your own peril.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where Jesus says, come on, y'all, let's go make this little children suffer. There's your conservative Bible.
Yeah, peeing on him.
Right. Beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah. And, of course, heaven, well, has to be, you know, well, a big old bureaucracy because, you know, they love the business.
Well, it's... I know, it has... And we can put some of that in Paul's letters. You know, the part where he says, government is instituted by, of God, governments are instituted by God upon earth, and, well, it wouldn't be, it, you know, just wander off into the Sinai and find some old text, some new text, and maybe make it, governments are instituted by God among men, and so's business.
And, of course, there's that whole third testament of the Bible. The Left Behind Testament.
Exactly.
Yes. I mean, you know, gee, what else is there? I mean, covered Supply Side Jesus, covered the bombs, covered Revelation, of course, you know. You might have to put that in, like, as, like, a pro... I don't know if you want to leave it at the end still of the New Testament or put it all the way in the front. Because you know that's the most important part. You know, you got the rapture and all that, and you're adding a New Testament, you know, in honor of the fact of the Book of Revelation and the rapture. I mean,
hey, you know, this is dovetailing really nicely, Garrett, with a little thing we were talking about last night, talking about the rapture, that inflatable Jesus that we want to put down inside Old Faithful, and have him pop up into the clouds every time Old Faithful goes off. It's perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
Sickening, but perfect.
Well, we're talking about the distortion of all this Bible stuff. Of course it's sickening.
And just remember that the military has been thoroughly radicalized by fundamentalist religion. I just got can you believe it? This is the 8th anniversary?
It's just...
of Afghanistan?
I mean, you know, it's utterly mind-boggling. I mean, you know, granted, you know, some of the extreme fervor, I mean, has died down, but, you know, some of it's ingrained itself. I mean, remember when you used to be able to watch a baseball game and knew that it would be take me out to the ball game during the seventh inning stretch and not God bless America?
So true. So very, very true.
I mean, it's just like, and the thing is that now it's kind of like, you know, when are they going to, how are they going to put it up on you? You know, sometimes they, you know, make it on TV and they, you know, and all of that. Sometimes they perform it, but it's not on TV. Sometimes they perform it and it's on the radio, but not TV. It's just like, you know, especially now that we're into the almighty playoffs, and you know that once Fox gets their hands on the playoffs, we're going to be seeing that just about every night. Especially on Sunday.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, just because Fox, I think Fox is the worst offender with this God Bless America thing. Well, other than the team that's infesting my television set right now, the Yankees, who forces you to watch God Bless America.
Right. You will watch now, citizen.
Even though, you know, the whole point of the seventh inning stretch is so you can go stretch and go to the bathroom and do that indulge in that last chance for that other great American pastime, drinking beer.
Hey, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you know, it's just, and there's this, that's another chapter for the Republican Bible, is the whole book of how to, you know, deal with people that call you a hypocrite. I mean, there has to be that instructional one. It's like just after Moses frees everybody from Egypt and the whole Bible turns into ancient Hebrew law.
I know. It.
Yeah. I mean, that's the part of the Bible. If I, like, try to actually read the thing straight through, that's where it's like, that's where the book just ends up getting left somewhere in some dark corner of the room, because it's like, what does this have to do with love thy brother?
Next to nothing, maybe?
Yeah.
But it's, I guess I'm either a purist or a heretic, depending on which way you look at it. I like my baseball and my football, baseball and football, and I don't need it all Jesused up.
Yeah, which is why, you know, when Tim Tebow got, you know, the concussion that's going to keep him out this week, too, it's kind of like, you know, I hate to admit, I was kind of happy.
Yeah, it does make you feel a little kind of queasy and sick, though, but
yeah,
that's the thing. Tim Tebow's what's called faith has been so thoroughly rubbed in our faces that it's impossible to stomach any longer.
You get faith less in your faith watching Notre Dame, and they're the Catholic school. They're the Catholic university.
And what are you talking about? You get less faith rubbed in your face watching Kenneth Copeland or the Shuler. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the point where when I see that big huddle at the end of the game with everybody in their head bowed, talking to Jesus about why he made him miss that block on 3rd and 3.
If I had a dollar for every time an athlete went into the God help me win or God stop me from winning after a sporting event, I'd be able to fund the horn until your great, 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 great grandchildren
were little broadcasters. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing. Luke brought it up in our conversation, Garrett. That bit, and I know we're probably losing listeners now because we're talking sports. But that incident with the Georgia LSU game, did you happen to catch it? It was toward the end of the game. It had been three quarters of absolutely deadly dull football, and then it turned into one of the better games of the season for the last 15 minutes. And Georgia scored to go ahead. And I saw absolutely nothing untoward. The guy scored. His teammates ran and, you know, leaped all over him like, you know, less than 22-year-old kids are wont to do. And the guy in the zebra costume hollered unsportsmanlike conduct, so Georgia had to kick off from the 15. And lo and behold, LSU went down and scored, and LSU won.
Oh, I hate that unsportsmanlike conduct penalty.
But wait.
I hate it.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, no.
Now, the penalty was called on Georgia. Georgia is coached by a man named Mark Richt. And Mark Richt, to hear him tell it, is the best friend of Jesus himself.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
He's the coaching equivalent of Tim Tebow.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
And my question, and I guess this is a little bit snarky of me, but what the hell? My question is, if you're that staunch a Christian, why would you ever get an unsportsmanlike conduct or a personal foul ever in the course of a football game? Because, well, you know, you're teaching them. You know, I mean, you're walking the walk.
Plus, I mean, you're theoretically getting good Christian boys to come to your school. I mean, and play on your football team. Wouldn't that make sense to me?
Or maybe you're hoping you'll lead them to Christ by your upstanding. Right.
I mean, look, the Colorado Rockies are filled with Bible thumpers.
Oh, see, that's another. Yeah, Colorado. Nah, sorry, I'm not there for them. I mean, I love today anyway. I know, but. Right, I love Todd Helton and everything, but beyond that, sorry, no.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was the funny part when the Red Sox won in 07, is that that's when, because I think Rachel Maddow mentioned it when she was, like, basically mentioning the Red Sox without mentioning them by name because she was afraid of jinxing them, and that around, it came out there that the Red Sox are, you know, goofballs, and you know there's a couple of people that are Christian on there, but certainly not everybody. And then Rockies total Bible thumper right down, almost like it's Colorado State was the one with the Promise Keepers coach.
No, that was the Buffaloes. That was Colorado.
Oh okay, yeah,
that was Bill McCartney, who later got caught philandering. Didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he get caught in flagrante delicto, that Latin phrase meaning bed? I seem to recall him having to make the Jimmy Swaggart, "I have sinned against you," speech. Wasn't that him?
Yeah, that's why he's no longer the coach of the Buffaloes.
Okay, yeah, right. So, but, nah, I like my sport straight, no chaser. Don't even want a sidecar or religion.
But no. It's like, you know, has to be It's the best. It seems like they think it's the best place to force it down their throats, and it's like, you know.
But you know what? If you look at the conduct of fascist societies, Garrett, you will find that reflected time and time and time again in a fascist society's response to sport. Not kidding.
And certainly to media. I mean, look at how much stuff gets just, you know, censored or, like, you know, you can't put this on TV.
Right, because, you know, those children with their delicate, tender little ears, I mean, right.
I mean, you know, especially, you know, since the fad for the past 15 years has been to import Japanese shows, and they have to butcher them, I mean, so freaking badly to get them on TV. I mean, just slaughter the crap out of them. And in fact, like, say, Dragon Ball Z, the first time that they butchered it, they had to re-butcher some of the lines because they mentioned death and killing overtly in the first time they dubbed it, and then they had to redub it because you can't say that.
Dear Lord.
And it's like, you know, it's bad enough that they, I mean, the first, when they first did it for syndication, the first 53 episodes that we got in America corresponded to 67 episodes in Japan.
After they'd been cut down?
Yes.
I'll be darned. Well, we just got an email in from our buddy David in South Carolina who says, he says it was great to see Mark Richt lose because he always says Jesus is on his side. You know, explain that to the athletic director within the context of your contract clauses there, Coach Richt. But you know, who am I? Hey, Garrett, good to hear from you, brother. And keep us abreast of your beloved Sox.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it looks like the Yankees are going to win at least one because, oh, yeah, they have to face a team that just got done winning the division yesterday.
Oh, and wasn't that just, there's nothing like free baseball at the end of the season.
I love it, though, that the rule was that the Yankees didn't have to declare, which, because this year and last year they had it, the best team in each league gets to pick which day they start. And, you know, the rule is, though, until 1 hour after your opponent is set in stone. So they didn't officially announce to, like, yesterday that they were taking the Wednesday slot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, I was, you know, it's like, they did it before the game was over. I had noticed that much, but it's like, or in fact, even before the game had started, but it's like, come on. I mean, I understand there's, because we knew there was going to be a tiebreaker on Sunday. Everybody knew it. The only reason they played on Tuesday was because can't interrupt the Monday Night Football, which is understandable.
Because it's a religion. You know.
Yeah, the religion of football, but, you know.
I know.
Besides, I think there's contractual reason anyway, because the Vikings are the primary tenant because...
And you know what? It turned out to be some doggone good football.
Oh, yeah. It was a great game.
And, you know, there's going to be a trip to Lambeau, and that one's going to be even more fun, I have a feeling.
Oh, yeah. Can you...
Of course, that, you know, that Monday night game got more press than some Super Bowls, so... You can only imagine what the trip to
Lambeau.
Yeah.
And you know how instead of doing, you know how it is now with the sporting events, they just like, you know, they have it on the delay and they do the sound like suddenly stops because, oh, the mic's picked up somebody swearing.
Right. One of the fun ones.
Yeah. Let's just put it this way. You're not going to be able to hear no color, no play-by-play commentary for a lot of the events of that game.
You know how I even got an email from our pal Michael Kid A from the chat room, who said that hell had apparently frozen over because he himself, who doesn't watch a lot of football, was tuned in to catch the Packers and Vikings. He being an old Wisconsin boy and a proud alum of that magnificent institution there in Madison. So yeah, it had star power and it had drawing power. Well, we will talk soon, and take care till then, and don't be a stranger, all right?
Will do.
All right, take it easy, Garrett.
See you, Bob.
Bye now.
Bye.
In the chat room as well is Garrett. If you haven't gone to the chat room, if you're not joining in the conversation in the chat room, why not? It's easy and it's free. Head on radionetwork.com/chatroom. Email that rolled in just now from our critic at large, Reverbo. He said, "The truth is, I count on the horn, and right now you need help worse than I. It ain't much, but it will keep the juice on just a little longer." Reverbo sent something along. He said, "I've been with you as a listener and a contributor for almost 2 years, and I value your efforts. This time the Possum Goddess Foundation will have to make do without my pledge. Her High Furry Highness is a kind and understanding avatar. In fact, I know she would approve." And a delightful photograph of the movie poster for the Marx Brothers is included. The Marx Brothers Animal Crackers. Mr. Marx also sends his support. What more can you ask for? He says, "I remain your critic at large, Reverbo." And with that in mind, we'll send a little tune out. I guess it's going to wind up being a Phil Harris kind of night here on the horn. So, lines open and a call to take. We'll be right back. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, or 304-658-3333 on your own nickel. We'll hurry right back, I promise. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn.
Way down south of the Mason-Dixon, there's a man who's really fixin' to match those taters in his bin with possum meat. And that ain't tin. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of them saplings, possum laughing at me. Hound dog baying, nobody's saying, possum on a limb. He done hit one of them saplings, and I'll get even with him. Get a going, Pete, gotta run, get my gun, and beat it over yonder to the holler. Moon is shining bright on the treetops tonight, the possum ain't far, thari are thar. Six tall, slim, slick, sycamore saplings, possum on the loose. He's been stealing all of my chickens, now I'll cook his goose. Possum know he in a jam, he'll go good with candied yam. Doggone tootin', show as I'm shootin', possum fallin' for me. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum up a tree. Somewhere up in one of my saplings, possum's laughing at me. Hound dog baying, know what he's saying, possum on a limb. He done hitting one of them saplings, and I'll get even with him. Get a going, Pete, gotta run, get my gun, and beat it over yonder to the hollow. Moon is shining bright on the treetop tonight. The possum ain't far, thari are thar. Six tall, slim, slick sycamore saplings, possum on the loose. He's been stealing all of my chickens, now I'll cook his goose. Possum know he in a jam, he'll go good with candied yam. Doggone tootin', sure as I'm shooting, possum falling for me. Yeah, that possum done eat his fill. Now Phil gonna eat his possum. Doggone tootin', sure as I'm shootin', possum fallin' for me.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Oh, a great call if I do say so myself. This in from a listener. No time to call in. Wanted you to know how sorry I am about the horn struggles and how very aggravated I am by not being able to do anything to help me on my initial print purchase. Hell, this program means the world to me. Gotta work. Take care. Thanks. And I know and I understand. We all do. And that's the beauty of the folks who are pitching in and have pitched in and continue to pitch in. It is a group effort, and we recognize the individual sacrifices and the individual outlay. But I know, based on the number of notes and responses that I've received, that it's an effort to keep the horn going for everybody. Those who contribute and those who, for one reason or another, cannot. And it's beautiful. Man, it is beautiful. Lines open if you want to jump in on this prayer meeting Wednesday. By the way, program note, no show tomorrow night. Ferg will not be playing in his football game because he's been sicker than a dog this week with whatever the god-awful bug is that nobody wants to admit is swine flu, but probably is. But tomorrow night is 8th grade appreciation night. It's kind of like senior day for an 8th grader. But there's a little ceremony where he gets to walk to the middle of the field, and his mama and I get to walk with him. And you know what? Those things, well, in our case, we have one son, and it's only going to happen once. And we're not going to miss it. So no show tomorrow night, rerun tomorrow night, probably of this program. And I hope you will indulge me. But we will be back on Friday evening without fail. And to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
I got a couple of possum stories for you.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, this will speak to the very heart and soul of our friend and fellow acolyte, Reverbo.
Well, I'll start with the oldest one. I had a cat about 2 years ago that I never had a pet so long. She was 17 and she disappeared. And I had a little door for her. I started getting these stray cats coming in, and after she was gone, you know, I just go ahead and fed them. And one night I went in, and there was a possum in there with them. He was eating, too.
You know what? Possums love, and I do mean love, dry cat food.
Yeah, they do, obviously.
You know, once upon a time when we lived deep, deep, deep in the country, Juanita, we had a watch possum.
Had a what?
We had a watch possum. Didn't have a watch dog. We had a watch possum.
Oh, okay. I got you.
He or she, I think it was a she, would come up and sit on our porch all the night, all the live long night through, eat the cat food. We got to where we left extra. And I mean, if anything came around, possums can be hateful. and she would raise a ruckus, and we'd look out there. 9 times out of 10, she was running off the raccoon.
Yeah.
Because see, Agnes draws stray and wild animals like a magnet draws iron.
This one, you know, I just kept telling because I knew people that have had pet ones. This one was a full grown one too, and I knew people that had little pet possums. You know.
Oh, you know.
Pretty good pets.
Oh, I know. Listen, I didn't know it at the time, but I married Ellie Mae Clampett.
Yeah, I got you.
Bob, can I bring home this fuzzy little skunk I found? And half the time she didn't have to go find them; they'd come to her.
Yeah.
Once upon a time we had a couple of squirrels that would come and deliver nuts to the back door every morning. I am not kidding you, Juanita. And they weren't delivering them to me. They were delivering to my wife, Ellie Mae.
Well, God bless her. I love people like that. And I was, but I had, this had a sad ending. And the, I didn't see it for a long time, you know, and the neighbor was talking about taking it and selling it, you know, for food, you know, killing it. And because I didn't know what I should be doing that, but I couldn't turn it away. But I was cleaning up some stuff and moving some stuff around, and I found that possum inside a hassock. How in the world it got in? Of course, it was dead. It was, petrified or whatever.
Rigor mortis?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, been there a while.
Yeah, oof, rough.
It was. It didn't really smell. It just was dead. How it got in there, I don't know. And that's the one story. And then this other one is just happened this week down here in Florida. I think it was in Lakeland. There was a lady that she went on her back porch, and there was some raccoons out there outside, and she was trying to shoo them away, and she fell down, and they came and attacked her. There was like four of them. One, was, I guess, was a mama, and then the three children.
Rogue rodents.
And she's in the hospital. She's in bad shape.
Oh. So, well, you know, that's another thing. Rabies runs rampant in those populations.
Yeah, they're bad to have rabies. Well, they figured when the neighbor came over to help her, they ran into their ditch, you know, the culverts.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me. And the people that came out, you know, the catchers and all, they said that they thought there was a mother protecting her children, but they'd never heard of a raccoon attacking that bad. And what made it so bad was she fell, you know.
Right.
And, but anyway, they set traps out. So I was reading about it. They caught one coon, one cat, and one possum. Talking about possum. Well, they didn't know about the coon, whether, you know, be one of them or not, because they took it in, you know, to see if it had rabies or anything. Of course, the lady's having rabies shots anyway. And, the cat they took down to the county to wait and see if somebody claims it. But the poor little possum, which they said rarely has anything like rabies, which I didn't know that for sure, they put it down.
Possum always gets the short end of the stick.
But anyway, when he was talking about the possum, I had to bring that up. But I wanted to bring up about what Luke was talking about, that wiener and that blonde lady.
Yeah, Betsy McCoy or Cowie or
whatever.
Yeah.
I just accidentally turned to that for some reason, and I got the gist of it, the last part of it. And he is from New York. He's a congressman from New York. I think Luke might have been thinking about our guy down from Orlando down here.
Yeah, Grayson.
Grayson, yeah. And Winter's real good too. And what I thought was so great about what that guy said, the moderator,
mm-hmm.
He called the communist corporation. I love that. He did it twice. I thought that's so great. That's a great soundbite for us.
Well, you're absolutely right.
But really, I think they're more like fascist corporations. But
well, I do. I tend to go that way. Yes. Tend to agree.
Anyway, that was, you know, I just happened to see that. And then they've got on Buzzflash, they've got the clip of it. And she was saying, you're the most, Luke was talking about her saying, this will go down. It's the worst moderation in history. And he said, well, I hope so. Maybe you'll learn to answer questions. They did get her to say that about the up to 70, and then Winter said, oh, okay, you're going to, help them out by cutting them so they can't get Medicare until they're 70. What? They caught her.
Stone cold. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But there's an overarching question, Juanita, and that is this. Why is that woman on television?
Right.
What has she done?
In government somewhere.
But who does she represent now? Also, well, she's just a nasty little corporate flack for the death industry.
I know she got laid off from the one place she was with. Now she's with something that I forgot. But yeah, she's. It may be for the insurance companies. I don't know. But, they had her. And I love that moderator. I didn't even know who he was. But, yeah, he kept calling. She said, well, you're just, what is it when you're saying what you think? You know, I said, you're not moderating. And he said, well, yes. You know, he didn't disagree with her in anything. He said, yeah, you're right. But, one time she said something about, you're not moderating very. He said, well, you're not answering questions. And, but one thing I wanted to ask you about the health care.
Mm-hmm.
What are they talking about now? What is it that, I know this is Baucus come up with this, about charging those who don't get insurance? And some people are calling it a tax, and they're saying, no, it's not, but you could go to jail if you don't have the insurance.
Well, isn't that the mandate? See, that's if you recall, I know Sandra has talked about this at some length. Max Baucus is still focused on the idea of using this bill as a means not of providing health care to Americans, but of propping up the insurance companies by turning this into a big, it's Medicare for insurance companies is what it is. It's a public option for insurance companies.
Yeah.
Where the public is compelled to support a profit and avarice driven insurance industry so that there is compulsory insurance. And if you as a citizen don't purchase it, if you don't do your part to prop up and provide welfare to the avarice-driven healthcare industry, then it's your butt in a sling.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. That's worse than what they're calling.
I don't want anything to do with it.
Huh?
I don't want anything to do with that.
I don't either. And to me, that's worse. Were these people that were protesting? Why don't they protest that? I don't get that. I mean, to me, now that is a. That is fascist or communist.
Yeah, the teabaggers haven't gotten around to quite noticing that yet. They're still worried about the death panels.
Obviously not. But yeah, I just been hearing about. They say they lowered the price. That it was like $3,000, and now they're wanting to go down to $1,500. Well.
But here's the $64 question. For what?
Yeah.
What do you get? Yeah. What kind of deductible?
Right. Right.
Because I'm guessing it's not going to be anything that you or I would recognize as quality, affordable health care. And it's still going to leave you on the hook to pay a boatload of money.
Oh, it's like paying a fine just to live or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it is. It's exactly like that.
It's worse than having to have automobile insurance. At least you can get in a heck of a lot of trouble if you don't have it, but at least you cannot have it. You know, plenty of people drive around. They don't care. They could care less if they have insurance or not. They're going to drive. But, and I don't think that's right either. I mean, that's a big ripoff, too. I think beginning to think all insurance is a ripoff. Not beginning to, I've been thinking, but more so than ever. But, you were talking about the right wing rewriting the Bible.
Yeah.
I heard that on Rachel Maddow last night. And they call like the Pharisees and the scribes and the Pharisees, What is the insult that they call us liberals? They're going to change that to intellectuals and something else. Well, it's an insult.
Elitists,
right. Yeah. But there's a verse in Revelations 22:18. It says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Now, if they really believe that, I think they'd be mighty afraid to change it.
You would think, wouldn't you?
You would think so, but they have no fear. Remember the family. Whatever they do is fine.
Right, because God likes them better.
It's all of us elitists. And
well, right, and that's the passage that I read out of Al Franken's Supply Side Jesus a little bit ago. If you are prospering in this world, it is because God has shown his smile upon you and shown you his favor. If you're not prospering in this world, it's because you're expecting to live on a handout, liberal.
Yeah. Well, that's a long story I could go into, but I won't have my experience with them. But they really believe in that giving the money. One time I recall and requested prayer. And first of all, they wanted to know if I was a believer, and I said yes. And then they wanted to know if I tithed. Now, they asked me all of that before they'd be willing to pray for me, and I said, just forget it. You know, I don't think Jesus did that.
No.
And he didn't even ask people if they believed in him. He just asked them, did they believe he could do it or would do it or whatever. He never said, you know.
No.
He just did. They asked him, and he did it. So, but anyway, it'd be interesting to see how they'll change it. I still don't see Jesus as being a right winger. I really don't.
No, I can't make him in, and I can't make the text make him into one either. So that's probably why they need a conservative Bible.
No, and y'all were right about. The way it said they shared everything, that was definitely was communism. But I hear some people, you know, in the church, oh, no, that wasn't really communism. That was blah, blah, blah. I don't know what their interpretation was, but it was plain out communism. You know, when they all shared and shared alike.
Right. They held all things in common.
Right. And you know, that's a puzzling part about Ananias and her husband, and his wife.
Sure.
They held back, and they were struck dead, and then they buried him. And that's something else. You know, you talk about the puzzler parts of the Bible.
Well, look, if you spend any time in St. Paul at all, you realize that the man's got some serious woman issues. Because, you know, at one moment you're reading along and there he is and Priscilla's the best friend he's got on earth. And the next minute he's writing about how awful and nasty and vile and vulgar women are.
Yeah. You know, it took me a long time to appreciate his writings. So there are some great ones in there that he, you know, of his writings. I think that the ones about women in the church and all like that, I think a lot of churches have taken and twisted it and made it even worse than it seems. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some people interpret things and that they dwell on those things. And see, I can't do that because I can't prove or disprove it. You know, I just go back to Jesus and all, but I can't say that I don't understand a lot of the stuff about the bishops and all that stuff either. I don't think there's very many churches that really do that, you know, to the extent of how they did it back then. I mean, it's just a lot of stuff in there, you know, you can get very confused about. Just like everybody's got a different interpretation of creation. I mean, which ones are they going to allow to be taught in the school if they get their way? I mean, is it the seventh, you know, actually 7 days, or as you say sometime about the, what is it, the 5,000 years, or do they believe in the million years, or, you know, is this?
There's a group that believes in all those things, and they would gladly slit the throats of anybody who doesn't.
Yeah, but then you've got other people that would slit the throats who don't agree with them, and they've got a little bit of a different, and maybe it's a little different interpretation, and maybe it's a big interpretation. I mean, I don't know. I've studied a lot of the different churches and some of the other religions. And I don't, you know, they've all got their own interpretations about the beginning of life and all. You've got some churches that believe in science all the way. And you've got others that they believe it's all spiritual. And then others that believe it's literal. But how can you believe it's literal? And then other things, how can you not believe it's not literal? So, It can drive you crazy if you think of it that way.
Right, sure.
But I go by the simplicity of Jesus. That's my thing now. You know, I tried to do what people told me I should do for a long time, and it just didn't work for me. But this does work for me, just my personal conceptions. You know, it works for me.
Sure. Sure, without a doubt. Well, Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful evening, and we will talk to you.
I'm sorry to go on about that.
Oh, don't apologize. It's fascinating. I'm fascinated with this stuff.
But,
and that's what Wednesday night's for.
Well, that's true. But he has really helped me out a lot. I've had, you know, a lot of help.
Yeah.
Just me and him.
I know.
Because I got more help and found out more. Just when I would be by myself and not have nobody to come around, nobody give a happy, except my little boy. And he pulled me through, so I have to appreciate him. I have to give him thanks. I cannot do it otherwise.
I know. I understand. I understand completely. Okay. Juanita, have a good evening.
You tell our little darling little boy I hope he gets better soon.
I do too. This is the nastiest bug that's been around this house in a long time.
And I have the swine flu.
It's nerve wracking because of the so called risk group. I mean, you know, two, 3 days ago down in Huntington, West Virginia, about an hour and 45 minutes from here, 13-year-old boy, perfectly healthy, dead. 14-year-old, dead with it. And you don't hear that thing and not sweat a little bit.
Yeah. I know. Okay, well, you take care, Bob.
All right, you too, Juanita.
You have a wonderful thing at the school.
All right, we're going to try. We'll talk soon.
Okay, and God bless Ellie Mae.
Absolutely. I'll tell her you said so. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
From Central Florida, that's our pal Juanita. And onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? Hello?
Hi, how are you? I didn't know if you were on to me at this moment.
Oh, okay. Yes, we are.
I was listening over some headphones while I was waiting.
Oh, well.
How are you doing? This is Alan from Miami. We spoke once before.
Yes, how are you?
I'm doing okay. If I was the one who asked about Jesse Johnson, you may recall.
Yes.
Sometime back, yeah. Your previous caller, I guess it's Juanita, was mentioning, well, I wonder why those people were protesting the way they were writing. They were protesting against something else. Of course, I guess we understand that they weren't really protesting, or they weren't really, they were being the attack dogs that were being asked to be. right?
Right.
And, I think the last time, maybe, I don't know if we brought it up, but the fact is that we have to realize we're sort of in a civil war here.
Well, absolutely, and you know that that references our buddy Joe's essay at headonradionetwork.com and now over at opednews.com about what you know about what the real extension of what civil war would mean in this country, and it bears thinking about, frankly, Alan.
I actually, to be honest with you, I've been saying this for about two to three years, so we're not recognizing it. I mean all the symptoms are there. I haven't read the article. But I'm sure it's, like you say, it bears looking into. But, I mean, if you ever read Banana Republican?
I don't think so.
No, well, they describe there about the literature that was created and handed out to the all of the Republican Party after the Gingrich, we can't say revolution, whatever it was, putsch. And, you know, basically, they were attacking. They were just saying that, you know, you don't treat the other side with debates. You attack them. You're supposed to win. It's, you know,
and the Gingrich list of words, sure.
Yeah. And so you're supposed to. I mean, so it's not about a civil debate. And so you have one side who has a goal of a certain vision of how they want power structured and what their position in making decisions. And the other side doesn't count at all. There's nothing regarding the other side. You only have to deal with them civilly as long as they're there, as long as you don't have your foot on their throat. And the other side is looking for facts and backing things up and holding conferences. And the worst part is here I am deriding the fact that you look for facts and have conferences and things, which is how, you know, thinking people work in the real world. And we shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't be taking on that tone, actually, because that's how you're supposed to have discourse. But we don't realize that, you know, the country, we have such an incredible discourse about being under attack and having to defend the nation. Boy, you want to defend the nation.
And take our country back. Don't forget that one.
Oh, take our country back. Take the country away. Because you want... What I consider security for America, they're talking about national security, people having a decent education, having enough nutrition to grow up properly, having decent wages, having good health care, that's security. All this other stuff that the other side calls security, and I want to say the other side, because the other side, as far as I'm concerned, includes the leadership of both major political parties, is this business about physical barriers. Can't get in here, and we will stop you there, and all that. That's not security. That's reaction. That's something else. Real security means a population that is well tended, well taken care of, loves its country, will defend it under anything. But the thing is, they don't care because the interests that are being defended now, you and I both know, it's not this country anymore. I mean,
it's these corporations.
They are here. They're more invested in China than they are here. You know, when I was growing up, we were always told this mythology about, you know, you have to revere and honor the leaders of industry, et cetera, the captains of industry, because they're the ones who create the jobs for you, and they're the ones who have the leadership. You know, without them, you wouldn't have these good-paying jobs. Well, we could say that at a time when the wages were fairly decent. But that's how it always is. They always say things at the time, whatever goes at that time. The fact of the matter is, they're not growing jobs here. They're growing jobs in China. And I teach an anthropology class, and I ask my students this, you know, because one of the basic things of any given society, if it is to survive any different cultural group at all, is that it has to provide a means for continuing on into future generations. And what we're doing to our air supply, our food supply, our job supply, our health care.
Don't forget the water.
And the water does not lead to a successful future generation. And all this, I think a lot of the business about being overseas still connected with the Project for the New American Century, because I don't think anybody's worried about crazy bombers or anything like that happening. Chaos and rebellion and riots. bombs in hotels and schools, etc., all of that works in the favor of the forces of repression, that all they want is an excuse to say, see, there they are again. See, there they're gone. And in fact, they want more of them. And I hate to say it, but I presume that if a long time goes without any, somebody's going to make something happen. Because otherwise, you don't have the people scared. And so here we are looking at this health insurance thing, and I think this, to me, this is the, I hope I don't annoy any of your listeners, but this is the ultimate condemnation of the Democratic Party for me. You know, I'm through with that group, and I have been actually for a while, but they have betrayed America on health care. There was no reason to go down this road whatsoever.
No, there wasn't.
You may as well go down. If you're going to go down fighting. Go down fighting in such a way that what you're doing is you're informing people about the reality. Instead, by not talking about single payer, even as a possibility or an option, they are dumbing down the nation. You're spending this one teaching moment that we have once a decade in this country, and they're telling them that something's off the table. If they tell you, well, it's not politically viable in Washington today to have single payer, let's ask for a translation of that. To me, the translation of that is, democracy is not politically viable in Washington. It's an admission that we don't have democracy.
Yes.
You're saying if it's not politically viable, it means that the insurance companies won't let us. Well, hallelujah. Finally say it out loud so we know what the deal is. The insurance companies won't let us. So what are we going to do to fight against it? That's the question. Because single payer, you and I both know, I mean, this would be the boon to all small business and medium, all businesses. Why should they be hooked with this health insurance?
Well, let me put something else out there for our general consideration, and that is this: if you're going to talk about single payer, the sooner you get it over with, and the sooner you get it done, the sooner the country settles into it and realizes that it's not going to create, crippling tax debt, and suddenly everybody's covered. And things get decidedly better, and I would submit that within months, if not weeks, the right wingers and the teabaggers and the deathers and the lifers and the birth certificators would shut up and go away, because they would be rendered irrelevant, and beyond that, they would be rendered fools.
Boy, you said it. I had an idea for an ad, and I don't know if it's still going to happen. We have a crew down here in Miami that's going to try and pull together an ad for YouTube. But basically it says this, you know, if you're sleepless and you're worried about bills and you're worried about your health and you're worried about the health bills and possible bankruptcy, there's one pill you can take and your troubles will go away from night till morning. And here's the pill, single-payer health care. If you take single-payer health care tonight, tomorrow morning, the collective blood pressure of the entire nation will drop.
Yes.
Will actually have a somatic, physical, beneficial effect on the entire population. People will be taking fewer medications and sleeping better.
But, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit, and I was along these same lines that what we're talking about now. And I also wondered, you've seen, for instance, of course, round up the usual suspects, Fox. And they've gone so far as to go digging around trying to find somebody in the United Kingdom that's disgruntled with their care. Trying to find somebody in Canada who's disgruntled with their care. They haven't gotten around to France yet, because after all, the World Health Organization says it's the single most effective health care delivery system on Earth. And in digging around like that, I wondered what it would look like if we did get single payer. I imagine that the for-profit media, because they're hand in glove with the avarice, profit-driven healthcare industry, do you suppose that they would just fan out all over this country looking for people to put on the air griping about their doctor?
Oh, they probably would. The thing is, they wouldn't do it today when they could find thousands and thousands and thousands of people, millions of people who would gripe. Where are they today asking those questions? You know, that's what I mean. This is the war. Let's not forget this is the war. This isn't a rational discussion. And the mistake we make is to believe that we're talking about two sides of a rational discussion.
Amen.
It's not a rational discussion. It's a battle plan.
It is sober people talking to people who are two-fifths drunk.
or who are following marching orders.
And drunk. Because you can't reason with them.
No. Because they consider us the enemy.
Right, because we sit here and we say things that are true, like we're already paying as much in this country as it would cost to have single-payer health care, only right. We're not covering everybody because it's all profit-driven, and it would be so much better if we spent that money and made sure that everybody was covered. And the other side looks at us and says, commie.
Yeah. And
you can't carry on a discussion with that person.
No, because we could prove those things with numbers. They can't prove anything they're saying other than it's an appeal to emotionalism.
Again, it's a Monty Python skit. It's that whole argument skit where the guy says, no, I came in here for an argument. Oh, you're just gainsaying everything. Oh, I thought you came in for abuse. Arguments down the hall. You know, simply gainsaying what the other side says does not constitute argument. And anybody who has ever had seventh grade debate, do they still teach that, Alan? Knows that it isn't.
Well, the thing is, that's exactly it. You know, during Bush the Child's regime, it was they were saying that this is an affirmation society, not a reality based society. That's where they're moving. In other words, it's what does it mean, an affirmation based society? They had another definition of that or a way of saying it a few generations ago, and that was called might makes right. You say it. And as long as you can prevent other people from hearing something else or seeing something else, if you can prevent it, see, that's the model of security here again, preventing people who disagree with you from doing something.
Right, and of course you've just drilled a 6-inch hole right through the current media model in this country as well. I don't know if you intended to or not, but if you can keep people from hearing a message, you win.
Well, I was not unintentional. Because I'm perfectly convinced that we have the most perfect system of censorship in the world today. And I had a letter published in the Miami Herald on this once. I said, move over Soviet Union censorship made in America. And it was about Dennis Kucinich and his five-hour stint on the floor of the House, just like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. There he was for 5 hours reading charge after charge of impeachment against Dick Cheney, and no newspaper covered it. While they were covering, you know, sports, drugs, and stuff like that.
Missing white women, sharks.
Just like, you know, how they used to remove the politicians from the photographs from their, you know, May Day parade, you know. And the Soviet Union used to complain about that. We grew up hearing about how dishonest they are because they would do things like that. Well, we do it all the time. And what bothers me is both major parties have colluded in the concentration of media. You can't, because at very least, even if the Democrats could say, well, we don't have the power to stop it, they could have at least been denouncing it, and they weren't. They helped it along, which is why I'm with the Greens at this point. I have to put my hope someplace where there's even a vision of the world I would like to see. I hear it coming out of the mouths of plenty of good friends who still consider themselves connected to the Democratic Party, but that party hasn't done a single progressive thing in 40 years, and I defy anybody to show me one.
Everything that smacks of progressive intent does get watered down. There's no getting around it.
And so what happens is you have a lot of good people spending thousands of hours and thousands of dollars making phone calls, knocking on doors, going after progressive substitute. They're saying, you know, change it from the inside. Well, you know, occasionally, and this guy from Florida, there's an exception. Grayson is an exception where there actually was a progressive who managed to win the primary and then go on and beat. But he was not liked by the party machine, but he had his own money. That's the thing. Now, if you take away a person's own private
right, wealth, and the state party and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee had to eat it and smile.
That's right. Now, in the case, I knew somebody here who was one of the founders of the South Florida Progressive Democrats, and I have respect for these people. No, I'm not saying that. You know, there's a difference between the leadership of a corporate party and those people who still want to believe in the ideals that are, you know, sort of written in stone somewhere in that party, but they're not there anymore. But that guy, one of the founders of the party, decided to run for office. And because it was the progressive Democrats, and because he had a progressive stand on the war and a couple of the issues, he got no backing. They ran people against him, and he was out. And here's a case where this one person decided he was going to go for it and try and run within the party, and they told him, well, these are the rules, and you can't say this, you can't do that, and he you know, drank the Kool-Aid as far as I'm concerned. A good guy. But he couldn't remain a progressive Democrat and run for office seriously. And so I feel sad about it, because a lot of good people have been, I think, used and abused and tossed out, like Kleenex.
And thrown to the side.
And there's
a lot of times, Alan, when I feel that way specifically about the progressive or liberal wing of the Democratic Party. I'm a little bit different from you because I don't have anywhere to go. Okay.
Well, I think you do if you would accept the. It's very difficult for people to change their identity, and especially I see that as much as an anthropologist or something.
I mean, there's a mountain party here in West Virginia that is closely associated with the Greens, and I voted for the
Green Party.
I voted for them for governor because I want them to stay on the ballot. And there's a constant attempt to try to, you know, there's always a gubernatorial candidate. Once in a while, there's a congressional candidate. And thus far, just not very often is there a county commission candidate. Everybody wants the glamour jobs, Alan.
I know. It's difficult. And I understand people, it's difficult for people to actually visualize or internalize the possibility of something like the Green Party, for example, another party, because you don't see it acting the way that other parties do. That's because of the absence of corporate money in the first place. But with the debate commissions the way they are, and they keep people out of public debate.
Pure and simple gatekeeping. No getting around that.
Yeah, and so what I'm saying is that while it's, to some people it may seem impossible, the idea. And by the way, the Mountain Party is the official Green Party. It's connected to the Green Party in the United States. And I was there when I met Jesse at one of the conventions, two of the conventions.
Good guy, Jesse.
Huh? Oh, yeah. I've spoken with him a couple of times. I really like him a lot. It's the kind of people we need out there. I don't care what party they live, but it's the kind of person you need. Look, the thing is, what I think is important is that within the progressive world, people have certain visions of where we should be going, a vision, a narrative of how life is supposed to be here, how things are supposed to work, how it's supposed to be a participatory democracy, how the representatives are supposed to actually represent us, how elections should be free from corporate money, et cetera, et cetera, how we should be living in a sustainable society, both in terms of the environment, but also in terms of sustainable politics, meaning the politics that works to make your neighborhoods work, your communities work, et cetera, et cetera. Now, if you have that vision, why would you put all your time and energy in a party that just shoots down that thing? Wouldn't it be much better, as impossible as it seems at times, to be building that one that agrees with that vision?
Oh,
all the way, 100%, that says, end this war economy, have a living wage, stop the mountaintop destruction, stop poisoning our water, stop poisoning our food, even end this whole business about the corporate personhood. All of these things that are actually belong in the ideals of many, many millions of Americans, why not work towards building a party that believes in all of those things as their goals?
And you know what? The one of the best places in the world to build it is right here, because of the fact that West Virginia, as has been noted by a lot more folks than just me, you know, in West Virginia we don't have Republicans and Democrats.
Hmm.
For the most part, we have Colicans and Colocrats.
Yes, that's true. And there are variations of that across.
But the one thing is that from a progressive or liberal standpoint, I tend to prefer progressive over liberal, just because if they want to make it dirty, I want to wear it. and wear it proudly. But the other problem is that it's not a want of people, but it's a want of cohesiveness, and frankly, we are not at a place, and I'm sure the same can be said in many other parts of the country, Alan, we are not at a place where we have schooled and taught people to get out and run for office.
No. That's one of the things that I learned from Ralph Nader when he was running. In 2000. He ran several times again, but not as with the Green Party. But he was saying that we have lost our civic education. We don't know that we're supposed to be participating. We keep lowering our expectations of ourselves our society, our communities.
And we do not have that we don't have an incubator yet.
Well,
and that comes from some of those things you're talking about. Alan, and I hate to do this, but I must break off here because we are a minute and 30 seconds away from me having to say goodnight, and that means I'll have to do it auctioneer style. But don't be a stranger, and let's continue this discussion.
Would love to. You take care, and I appreciate how much you do. I did send you a small check the other week. I did the best I can.
And it is sincerely and thoroughly appreciated.
Okay.
You know, if everybody does a little bit, it makes it a lot easier so that a few people don't have to do so much. And I appreciate your understanding of that.
That's the box right there.
There you go. All right, Alan, take care, and like I said, I hope we'll talk soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. One last reminder, go to Brighter Planet. Brighter Planet, just like it sounds, brighterplanet.com. Go to the Project Fund tab. Vote for sustainable energy and economic diversification in the Coal River Valley. It's easy, 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 and free, free, free. Can't ask for anything. All that talk about democracy, go do some of it. I love the idea. Thanks, everybody, for driving the lupine pest off the porch and making sure there will be a horn on October the 22nd. It is sincerely appreciated by everyone associated with this operation. Thank you. And hopefully we can make October's fundraising goal as well. And I hope there are no other crises in the offing, because if they are, I'm just going to go outside and scream. No show tomorrow night. We'll be doing that parent thing. But we'll be back Friday, and I hope you will be too. Thanks, John Fox, our chief engineer, chief musician, webmaster, and host of All Foxed Up, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Live conversation radio on a weekend. Kind of rare. We may be one of the only ones doing it. Chime in. Thanks, Peter Godbold. Keep getting better, brother. Thanks, Ben Birch, for everything, going all the way back to 2002 and the formation of the White Rose Society. Thanks. Thanks to Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. The hardest working, bravest people that I know. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussing and discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
change past the hour of 6 p.m. here on the East Coast. Welcome to the program for this evening. Welcome to the Horn. Welcome to Conversation Radio. Welcome to America's liberal voice. It's live, it's real, and it's me. I'm Bob. And it's Wednesday. Yes, 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 it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, and it's middle of the week. You know, hump day. Downhill, baby, to Friday. Mm-hmm. Yes, 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 and off in the fellowship hall. You can smell that. Well, you know, I'm genetically predisposed to it because I'm directly related to a famous Virginia pro-slavery circuit riding minister who was genetically able to smell free chicken frying from at least 50 miles away. Yes, 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 yes. So, yeah, it's more than just any old Wednesday. It's prayer meeting, brethren and sistren. And, Mr. Choirmaster, if you would get us started, please, brother.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, mercy, dotes and dosy dotes and little lambsy dotty, a kiddly dotty too. Hallelujah. I love you. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sistren. Come down, come down. Who knows when it will be last time? Who knows who in this group is going to, will not have another opportunity to come down, blood red carpet, lay their hands upon the subwoofer, kneel, kneel, sinner, kneel, and feel the healing rays of common sense are flowing through you. Glory, glory, glory. Welcome to the Cathedral of Common Sense. I am Archbishop Bob Kincaid, and we are going to have a prayer meeting tonight that will fill you with the reasonable spirit, brethren and sistren. And we will go straight away to the telephone, where I am informed that Sister Kate is with us from the, well, maybe not even from the desert.
Oh, no, not even the desert, the frozen north. Well, at least the preacher wasn't so slimy tonight. Thank you.
Well, I decided to go prosperity gospel just for you, Kate.
Thank you very much. I'm on my cell phone, and I don't know how reliable Verizon's going to be, so I just wanted to rant for a minute. I've heard my name taken in vain for about two or three programs.
Well, that's well, because you I don't think it was taken in vain, as a matter of fact. It was taken in distinct admiration. You know, Tom jumping in last night, and yeah, you got something started, sister.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. But anyway, I can pop into the archives once in a while. And I hear my name and I think, gee, maybe this is my, maybe I should call in and say, hey. I wanted to say, how much money are we at now?
I am very happy to announce that we've crossed the threshold, Kate.
Well, that's really good to hear. I mean,
we have beaten the wolf back from the door on October the 21st. There will be a fourth birthday of the horn. And now all we got to do is do the month's fundraising.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, we'll be pickled. The pink envelope's been taken care of. Big deal. I mean, yeah, it is a big deal, but we just can't sit back on our laurels, whatever the hell that is. And it just occurred to me something today that by us not contributing when we ought to, we know we should, and we...